I used to think I drank too much, so I gave up thinking. This is the perfect pour.
Welcome to the Perfect Pour. It's a show about things interesting to beer geeks. I am Mikey.
I'm the Nick.
I'm Matt.
We're here for the next couple hours just to hang out with you and have many beers and talk about the beers, beer releases, crap, the culture, and the listeners are going to call us and do stuff as well.
Yay.
And we haven't had one of these in a while. Big.
Is this a get it?
Big party time get it. I don't know. Oh. I know if people on the show qualify as a get it.
Damn it.
I love gold.
But it's a different night for us, too. Does that qualify?
Yeah. All the things qualify. Roger from Pine and Palm is here. President of California's Pine and Palm.
Oh, hello.
He's hanging out in the background. He's trying to get all the... He's trying to steal all the beers.
Peanut gallery.
He's digging in the barley wine drawer.
From Fresno, you may have remember him from Tagascoy, now with Drake's Brewing, Zach.
Hello, hello, hello.
And industry, more, if that was an industry, you're like, I need more industry on my shows. From Drake's Brewing, big time, brewmaster, John Galuli.
Yeah.
I did it. I just stammered a little bit.
Tanya Harding.
Okay. Man, we're doing that. Now what?
Very, Jeff Galuli, husband, whack in the knee.
No, I was thinking next year going, no, Galuli.
Why?
Oh, why? That's what it was.
Why? So, thanks for being here, John.
Appreciate thanks for having it, man. Appreciate it.
Dude, thanks for hanging out in our hot garage.
Oh, it's fairly comfortable.
Dank hot garage.
It's the dink.
What am I drinking?
Drake's Brewing from those. I mean, we've talked about Drake's forever on the show, but those what? That don't know, the San Leandro, Southeast Bay, just East Bay.
East Bay.
East Bay's
look
good
for
enough.
The Walmart.
Look yes, for the Walmart. Look for the Walmart.
super indie.
So what you...
All the qualifications to be on this show, more than enough.
What you're drinking is Tioga Sequoia's first ever released, not released, sour.
Okay.
Wait, how are we having this? If it's not released,
I know a guy.
This is the official, unofficial release.
So Tim Decker from Altbrow came down to Tioga, and we collabed on making a wild ale.
You mean Altbrew?
Altbrow.
Altbrew. I'm pretty sure it's brew.
Altbrew. Yeah.
Pretty sure it's brew. Yeah.
Pretty sure it's.
Yeah. He gets very finical about the pronunciation. So thank you for correcting me.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Yes, we would not want him upset at us or anything.
And so we made it, and then it sat forever. And then we finally bottled it, and then it sat forever again. And, yeah.
Wow.
And it went to a charity fundraiser up in the Pacific Northwest recently. And, like I said, we didn't have enough to release. It was only a couple of cases and only a couple of kegs. And so we're kind of playing around with it. But this is a direction we want to go is with wild ales.
I sure hope you guys make much more of this.
Yeah, so I remember having it when we first bottled it. It was not nearly this sour. It's not very sour at all, but that's something we're learning. The more that we let it sit, the more sourness it gains. And it's just sad that there's so little of it that exists. Because
put the cap back on it quick.
Right, here you go.
Save it.
Yeah.
During our tailgate session, we had a Dust Bowl Imperial Stout. Is there a name, specific name on that, Matt?
It's called exactly. Imperial Stout.
It's the Lost Uncle Imperial
Lost
Stout.
Lost Uncle. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah. Made with berries, cocoa nibs, vanilla beans, and coffee. And this one sits at 9.8.
That's all?
Did you get that one?
Lame. Yes.
I liked it. I liked it. Not getting a stout.
Until we started talking about it, then I didn't like it anymore.
Oh, now you told me what's in it. I don't like anymore.
The label didn't taste good.
You're the classic untap guy. It's like, I don't like stouts. One.
I'm sure it's a great stout, but it's not my thing.
One star.
One star.
And then we Stone's Ruination, the unfiltered that
sans
you get from the
filter.
Variety.
Double IPA 2.0 unfiltered.
Just to make it more confusing.
Sans filter.
Because that's fancy way.
That's fancy.
There's a lot of words. You have to get all of them in there so people know exactly what we had.
That's right. Well, it's on Untappd as that category, so it counts as a unique.
Uniques.
And so we're all up to date on the drinking.
Woo.
Are we drunk yet?
We're getting there.
Oh, yes. Perfect.
John, new in the show, we like to you may be old enough to have a beer history before craft beer. If you do, do you remember what beer you used to drink? What was the?
Oh man! I mean, I started drinking.
What was the beer you were starting with?
You know, I'm from Pittsburgh, and we actually like maintained a fairly decent culture in central Pennsylvania of like throwback beer. So Yingling Porter, I mean, that might have been one of the first things that actually popped me out of just drinking macro crap beer.
Mm-hmm. Yingling Porter as a gateway. That's
a first.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it was accessible, and I think it was like $6.99 for a 24 pack. So that was accessible in so many ways.
Sign me up.
Very accessible. Can I get that right now?
But you know, really, like, probably imports more than anything. Shime, stuff like that, and we're talking late '80s when I'm really starting to like jump into beer that wasn't, you know, just like get you drunk beer.
Right.
So what was out in the late '80s? I'm in Pennsylvania. I'm in the late '80s. I could get stale Anchor Steam. Didn't really see the point of that one. I at least figured out their date codes, and I then realized how appalled I was.
Why did I figure this out?
How about the Rolling Rock?
Should have just stayed dumb.
Yeah, you know, that's just another yellow beer. I mean, I'm not going to sit here.
Right there in central Pennsylvania, too, isn't it?
Yeah, but it didn't really have anything exciting other than its DMS.
That's Roger's fault. Everyone, blame Roger.
All these noises are Roger's fault.
So, like, what? So, other than after the Yingling, like, what was the a beer that was just like, oh wow, this is what?
Probably Shime. Mm-hmm. Probably Shime Red.
Okay,
that was probably the first thing that really opened my eyes and was like, oh man, that's not even beer. That beer kind of blew my mind. Mm-hmm. We had like a cool import shop. I was going to college at University of Pittsburgh, and we had a place that had, like, I mean, they had high-end beer, but it was almost all imports, you know? I mean, because there weren't that many good domestics, right. And there wasn't a big scene in Pennsylvania at that point.
Well, that was, I remember, that was our craft beer at the time was imports and yours.
Yeah.
That, you felt special. You're like, oh, I'm going high-end. I'm drinking imported beer.
Well, let alone a big 750 with a cork in it, you know? Oh, clearly, gosh. I mean, that's two erect pinkies right there. So.
World market specials.
I mean, it still, like, lingers to this day because they'll just, a random restaurant will have imports and it'll have Sierra Nevada.
Yeah.
And
they just didn't want to make Firestone, a third price category.
Right. They're just like, just throw them under the imports. So it's like there's still that little bit of hanging around where imports are just sort of craft beer, synonymous with craft beer or whatever. So brewing, when did you first, I'm going to assume you were homebrewing first off?
Started homebrewing in 1990, was pretty poor, so that was a good hobby and it was a good way to drink a fair amount of beer without, you know, I don't know if it's actually any cheaper, but I had more fun with it, so that was fine. And by 90... I was on the West Coast by that point, so now I'm starting to see Red Hook, I'm seeing Fresh Anchor Steam, and I'm seeing Sierra, which I think was the main stuff I was seeing at that point. Mm-hmm. I don't think I was missing very much. And then, you know, it all just kept growing. So, you know, I was homebrewing, more beers were coming out, I went to brewing, you know, so I, like, kind of took that, and I went to brewing school in 1995. I was in the third class of the American Brewers Guild up in... You know, that was when the guild was still being run by the Davis guy, so it was Dr. Lewis and all those people. So did my 12 weeks there. It was a 6-week class, a 6-week internship, and got shipped off to Red Hook for a 6-week internship. Got hired on my internship, which was pretty cool. I didn't have to
at Red Hook?
Yeah.
Wow. That's cool. That's a damn good start at Red Hook.
It was nice and busy, you know. It was cool to go someplace. And I got hired there right when we were opening the brewery in Woodinville. I did my internship at Fremont because Woodinville wasn't even open yet. So I was like early crew on Woodinville. So I got the you know, I got to like, you know, help be part of the crew that dialed in the brewery and everything. Not that I was like a decision maker or anything, mm-hmm. but you know, I'm observant.
And then when, what led you the path to Drake's? Was there breweries in between?
Drake's is my ninth brewery in 25 years or 24 years. So I consider myself to be marginally unemployable. I've spent a fair amount of like 2 years here, 2 years there.
That seems like a lot of brewers though. Like that seems, doesn't sound uncommon to me.
No, it happens a lot. This is very weird for me to be at the same place for 7 years. So.
Yeah, that's a long time for a brewer that's not a founder of the brewery to be mm-hmm. somewhere for 7 years. That seems like a long time.
Yeah. But we've got a fair number of people, like, you know, we have new owner, like the ownership at Drake's bought it in 2008. When I started there in 2012, we were still only doing a couple brews, you know, like maybe 6-8 brews a week. We weren't making that much beer. We weren't selling that much beer. We got the, you know, our bottle line came in when I started there. They were just doing like the mobile machine. It was really small. And, you know, we really expanded really fast over the last 7 years. So, you mm-hmm. know, we kind of have a crew that like went through from like a small brewery to a much bigger brewery. And the people that stayed, you know, like, you know, we all, you know, everyone like advanced and I don't know. It was cool.
Drake's was just in the Bay Area at first, or distributed wise? It was like just started out of the brewery and then tap room and then built out from there.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think they just never had ownership that wanted to do very much with it. You mm-hmm. know, when the current owners bought it, and that's John Martin, who's like run Triple Rock since what 1985, so he's had his feet in the brewing industry for a long time, but. It was owned by like a coffee company and they didn't know anything about beer. It just kind of like was a thing that was happening and they just, you know, they do a couple brews a week and sell most of the beer to Jupiter as Jupiter House Beers and they'd get a few beers out to some accounts. I think it was like three people running that place when John bought it, like a brewer, an assistant brewer who kind of ran like a little tiny tap room and like one dude in a truck who had like slept some kegs around a couple days a week. Yeah. So.
Story checks out. That's about an average brewery.
Yeah.
I know.
How many employees you got?
Three. Roger's crying right now, guys. What'd you say?
Yeah, that's one more employee than he has. Yeah.
Roger's like three.
Wow. Got a third one.
Wow.
Third guy.
What? You're saying somebody
that's
could.
You made it.
They paid this third guy?
Yeah. What the heck? Hayden Beer. Same thing. So, and Drake's just done 30 years, right? Just hit the
30
year mark?
Our 30th anniversary on Saturday.
Man. Yeah,
it was fun.
How the hell? 30 years. That's crazy. Crazy insane for craft beer nowadays.
Oh, I feel like, you know, like it's like a dog year situation. I feel like we're a 500-year-old brewery, yeah. You know, relative yeah. to the scene. You know, there's, I mean, a lot of the 80-era breweries, if there are any, you know, the ones that are left, there's not, a lot of them are fairly irrelevant, mm-hmm. you know.
You're irrelevant or bought out or.
Or, yeah, or but yeah, or both, you know. Or,
yeah.
I mean, or,
like, yeah, both.
Like I mean, yeah, I started at Red Hook.
North Coast.
And I, oh, yeah, aw. Well, I was thinking Red Hook because, oh, like, yeah. I worked there and I'm like, I know they still make beer, but damned if I could tell you where you buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I mean, but I gather they're still a thing.
Somewhere
they're in
somewhere.
Existence. Yeah.
So some old liquor store.
Yeah, I did a stint at Mendocino too, so I got the same kind of vibe there. It's like, why are we still even hanging on? What is our what is the drive here, man?
Right.
Just keeping on.
Keeping on.
It's kind of like those zombie ants, you know, and they get the parasites in them and they just kind of just still just flapping along.
Still walking around.
Yep.
That's the something's going on up there when you get north of Santa Rosa, everyone just sort of, it's sort of like they're on their, they're in the 90s and they're just there forever.
Right.
North Coast and all the, they're just like,
enjoy my caramel malt IPA.
Yeah.
No, I don't want it.
People don't like caramel.
What? Everybody likes caramel.
Everyone loves caramel. What are you talking about? Okay, bro.
So just a general question, with the company being as old as it is and with new ownership and kind of the rebirth that it had, was there anything that might have been kept from the previous company or ownership, like any nameplates or recipes or anything, or is it just kind of like that's what it was, and this is what we are.
I think DNOG and 1500 both precede this ownership. To be fair, any recipe that existed 15 years ago, they're not really the same beer. They're not even the same beers on a year-to-year basis because, we pay attention to our hop crop, and if we got to change something, we'll change something. And we pay attention to the industry. I will willingly admit that, like, our IPAs, we've been slowly taking the IBUs down because there's no taste for IBUs in the market anymore. Mm-hmm. We've slowly been upping dry hop rates because that's what,
Yep.
Yeah, stand still and die.
Yeah. That's a very true statement just because somebody reached out to us on social media and they're just like, I wish you would do a throwback Sherman recipe. I miss the old recipe. And I was like, which old recipe? I was like, every year it gets a refresh. Yeah. Like you said, there's different hops. Each year the crop changes, so you kind of have to judge what that is going into it. And, maybe the color profile of the malt is a little bit different. So there could be a general Sherman that they're thinking about, but there could have been six other ones in between.
Yeah, and if
sense to what we have now,
and plus we've hit the, just the golden era of hop varieties, right? Like there's so many new hop varieties to play with, and if you don't allow yourself to like put them into your standard beers, like I don't really fuck with. Can I swear on the show? I got bleeped on KMBR, so I'm like super paranoid now.
KMBR.
Yeah, I know. to be fair, I didn't say fuck. I just said shit.
That's okay now.
That's okay now. Apparently, well, we allow fucks, but we don't allow shit on this podcast.
Oh, okay, whoa, sorry guys.
Why you guys shit all over the show?
God, my whole KBR, train of thought.
You can't
shit on
KBR. They're the 50,000 watt flamethrower.
Right.
There's three people in this room that get that reference.
I'm KMJ.
No. Everybody's waving their head.
But he's saying no.
One, two, three. You've been on it.
Yes.
You have to get it.
I don't know, man.
So
I want to follow up. You said you were working at breweries that like were dying. Like, what was it like when you were there? Is like you can see the brewery dying as you're like making caramel IPAs, throwing Crystal 60 and shit, and using nothing but Cascade and maybe some Centennial, and just holding on as much as you can.
Well, when I was a Red Hook, it was the opposite of dying. That place Mystery was beers. Booming back then. So I've only worked at one brewery that was definitely like was one of the breweries that like kind of died in the late 90s because that was the last time we had like a big industry consolidation, and that really sucks. So as your paychecks start bouncing. I have a story from this brewery. This told me to like get my resume and all together. We had the sheriff showed up one day and he brought this guy in and they just like walked up to the office and the plant manager came running over to me. He's like, you see that guy? He's a check interceptor. He's here to grab our mail and take any checks out of it and give it to our creditors. So I want you to give him a tour of the brewery and distract him. And I'm going to go down the street two addresses down and grab our mail. And I was like, yeah, now I'm getting the fuck out of this place. Cause, we would literally like meet our glass truck in the parking lot with a cashier's check or they wouldn't offload. That's what a dying brewery feels like.
Oh.
Yeah. It just turns into a money problem. You don't have enough money to operate. So you are dying. And then of course, like, they had a lot of redundant office staff that all started disappearing. This look.
I was more coming from
the side of, like, the brewer side, where you can feel, like, the beers you're making just, you're not keeping up. But it's not your choice. But, where you're at right now, you have a little more choice. But, like, where with where I'm at, I get to do whatever the fuck I want.
Sure.
And now, where you're at, you get to do whatever you want. If you're in the position where you're seeing things, you're like, we need to do this. And someone is just like, no, we're going to keep doing this. And you're just sitting there being like, it's time for me to find a new job. And you fill in the brewery just like,
so when you're at a brewery like that, you're generally pretty far away from the people who are making those decisions. So you don't really you don't talk to Paul Shipman at Red Hook about like, dude, we can't just keep flogging ESB, which I assume every brewer up there probably thinks that. But there's no one to talk to. You just talk amongst yourself. You're just like, ah, geez, man. Or you drink the Kool-Aid and you're just like, yeah, we're making the best beer. Why wouldn't we do anything different?
It's ESBs are going to make a comeback.
Yeah, one day, man.
We got the best one, right?
We'll be here.
Right, one of these days, modern times, we make an ESB. And they're like, see, we told you.
You're right, guys. You're right.
Just so they could use "Don't Call It a Comeback," right?
There it is. I used that already. Don't call it a pale.
Well, this may be a question for Zach, but John could probably answer too. I'm curious to know. So there's the barn in Sacramento that Drake's has, mm-hmm. and then there's the dealership, San Leandro. Is there a difference between sales as far as what styles are moving faster between the two?
I think between the two locations, I think you can definitely see a different drive for brands. I think I think with the Bay Area alone, I mean, I think they have a little bit more of a set clientele for things like, you know, session IPAs and stuff like that, where it's like, you know, our hazies do really, really well at the barn in Sacramento. But in addition to that, you know, John and them have done a really good job of circulating, you know, new categories, new products that are really kind of giving them an opportunity to be expressive. And I think it's actually opened up the door for us too in Sacramento, and that actually bleeds on into the market here too, where people are now openly able to see a lot more of what Drake's does. You know, we have a sour program that is freaking phenomenal. Travis, Camacho and Zach, they've been knocking out some really, really good stuff. And, being able to get things like that a little closer to home, for me in this valley, really does open up opportunities. But yeah, you can definitely see a little bit of a change.
So Sacramento likes hazies more than the Bay Area.
Sacramento is funny because it's like they go through a lot of hazies and a lot of fizzy yellow beers, mm-hmm. and they're, you know, and it, which I totally get. It's hot up there, you know. Mm-hmm. I made a big point this summer, really, like moving, you know, because we have I'm working on two different brew houses at Red Hook. We have a 60 barrel brew house, and that puts pallets on trucks, and that goes to broad market. And then I have a 15/20 barrel brew house, and that's almost every drop of that beer goes to the barn, the dealership, and the Drake's Barrel House. Because those are like 28 keg runs, 36 keg runs, usually sell them out in 3 weeks. And, you know, it's good for me because I can get a real feel for like what customers are like buying, like real quick feedback, you know, because mm-hmm. there's such the thing with both the barn and the dealership in particular, there's such big restaurants. It's not just sorted for beer nerds, you know, like you get a lot of people.
Random.
I'll
try that.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, there's four people in a group. Maybe one of them's a beer nerd. One of them's drinking wine. And the other two were like, I don't know. What do you have that's like a regular beer? You know, that kind of stuff. So, but that's been cool. And frankly, you know, I think most, you know, a lot of brewers drink a lot of beer all the time. So having some like just kind of easy knockback beer is not a bad thing.
No.
So, you know, I am seeing a lot of that.
I love kickback.
Awesome. Yeah,
that's one of my favorites.
We'll be making.
I love Draconic, mm-hmm. but nobody loves to bring that to Fresno.
Electric Alex.
That was a good one too.
I liked Electric Owl.
That's a good one. Don, yes.
What happened to Electric Owl?
I don't think the sales were as good as the beer was. I don't know. You know, I don't know, man. Is Coffee Brown's a real thing? I thought it was a fantastic beer, honestly.
No,
I was
not
like
a real thing. Make it like your small system and then just send some stuff with Zach to us.
I know. Well, I did just do a batch of it on the small system and it flew out of retail. So, I mean, I know that there's like a market for it, but it's one of those things. You know, it's one thing to do some kegs for your brewery, and it's another thing to put pallets on a truck.
Yeah.
What sells them pallets is, I don't fucking know.
No, I saw a post D-Nog. One day. Yeah. I saw a post one day, and it showed that they had a Electric L on Nitro, and I'm like, killer, can't wait to get some kegs. Blink my eyes, and it's all gone. I'm like,
it was all gone. Yeah, it was really good on Nitro, too.
When I was up there last, there was the Robustito.
Ooh, oh. So good.
That was everything I wanted it to be, barrel aged mm-hmm. and low ABV
mm-hmm. uh-huh.
and flavorful.
Mm-hmm.
That beer is a complete mind fuck because you bring it up to your nose and it smells like a 12% imperial stout. You're just thinking like, oh my god, here we go. And then you drink it and you're like, it finishes so just like it just goes, man.
Yeah.
That's a beer that like I think is just a 5-star fabulous beer, and I can't do anything with it. I can't charge enough money to like actually make it worth bringing to market. Because how much are you going to pay for a 4.5% barrel aged small porter.
You probably don't want to pay much. No.
Yeah, you don't want to pay much. And it's a fragile ass beer, to be perfectly frank. You know, that that beer, we have to pay attention to it when it goes into barrels, because it usually goes into barrels at like 3.9% and, you know, picks up the last half point.
Residual.
It does not take much for a barrel to overwhelm that beer. That beer usually gets a 4-month pass at most. And we start tasting it 2 months in to make sure it's not getting whacked too hard. And yeah, it's not a big beer. It's just it's great tap room beer. And yeah, but
saw that on the board and was like, I'll have one of those.
Please. Yes, yes. I'm a huge stout fan and pastry fan. And whenever I see stuff like that, it's like, dude, hey, something you can drink any time of the day, low ABV shit. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't see enough of that. You don't see enough of the low ABV dark beers, you know. And brown ales have kind of like fallen off a little bit. You don't see them as relevantly as they used to be. And I mean, now, I mean, there's a handful of porters in the market, but I think people just kind of say, hey, we're just gonna fucking go for it, and we're either gonna make a big badass imperial stout, or we're just gonna fucking, you know, we're just gonna adjunct the shit out of it and just throw, you know, all these really, really cool freaking, you know, fruits and all that goodness. But
marshmallows.
Fruits and nuts and berries. Marshmallows. Oh, man. Marshmallows and graham crackers.
You like them, dude.
So yeah, I do. The beer that we opened that we didn't talk about was so the Tornado 30th anniversary. And
from Alvarado Street Brewing?
From Alvarado did it. So what the thing that gets me is it's all yeast driven since 87, which is 32 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't get the naming. Maybe it's the second anniversary of the 30th anniversary.
Only like 32 years old.
Yeah.
Do math that well.
But it's a
back behind you there. Whoa, that was crazy.
Excuse me.
That was
wow. Turn on my lightsaber, guys. Let me put that away.
But so
double red lightsaber?
This beer popped up at MGA, and it wasn't in the – they have the normal you walk up to the door and open it.
Mm-hmm.
No, you had to walk in the cooler, and there's this little wooden shelf, and that's where it was. And I was like, oh, it was like secret
they
beer.
Hide. Someone hide.
Yeah. And so I picked this up a couple times.
I hide
times,
here. No one will look here.
To me, this is what a beer should taste like.
Well, and it's this what is that like 5.2% something like that?
It's 5.5, I think.
I'm 5.4, right?
Okay.
I mean, I think that's the sweet spot. I don't know if the market's there yet. You know, we still have a very alcohol driven market with a lot of people out there.
Yeah.
You're looking at me. They're talking about me. When will they come out with the triple?
What's your biggest beer up here?
Yeah. You got any triples?
We were shooting for 5.4.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because we want it drinkable. I don't know. I like beers that are drinkable. Kind of weird, huh?
I've accepted double IPAs because they've had a big surge lately.
Mm-hmm.
But my desired percentage is about 6.5 to 6.7. That's the IPA that I want to drink.
Yeah,
on the regular.
Yep.
Double IPAs do a really good job of pulling people into the craft segment when they look up and see Bud Light's 4.8, 4.2, I don't know, whatever. I can get this 8.5 thing. Yes, you're not the drinker I necessarily want, but you're
going gateway.
To buy my beer.
It's a gateway.
And you're going to figure out what flavor is.
Right.
And then hopefully you'll work your way down to the 7.5s, into the 6.5s, and eventually you'll be, you know, 50, and you'll be like, oh, maybe I can't pound these things. I'll drink 5% beers. But whatever, I've got to... customer who once a night or twice a night will buy that one and then go back to his Modelo's, but which works for me. I get two beers out of him at 8.5.
It's funny how often that people that are just getting into craft beer, or just like you think about like early days in craft beer, a lot of people like really condition their palate with bigger beers first. And then eventually started working the way back down.
Well, because they're the ones that blow your mind.
Well, they justify it with the fact that, oh, this is rough, but fuck it, it's 8.5%.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of these beers,
because
those two of other beers, I'll do it. We'll get through it.
Drinking those doubles and triples, you've already lost two jobs, two different girlfriends, and you're like, whoa, man, maybe I should dial back to singles, bro.
I think they're just looking for monsters. I mean, I have people come in and go, I'd like to taste that. What's a barley wine? I'm like, you don't want to taste that. One's only in bottles, and if you have to ask what it is, you don't want it.
Yeah, right.
But all I know is
it's an AQ situation.
You saw
there.
The word wine, and you saw 11.2.
Yep.
Let me just shoot you on down to, what do you normally drink? A Blue Moon. Cool.
All right.
Try this.
This is going to be fun.
I've got a Bavarian Hef on tap just for you.
I don't have that, but what I have is a highly fruited New England.
Perfect.
If I don't tell you what it is, you might drink it and be like, oh, it's fruity. I like that. Yeah. Well, that's a New England IPA with fruit.
Yep. That's fruity.
Oh, good. I'll have one of those.
Let me see. What's the passcode for your phone? I need to see your ICE contact on your phone because we're going to have to call them here in about an hour. You don't realize this yet, but you're not going to leave this establishment standing up. I can handle my beer. Sure. Okay. Go ahead and have those barley wines all you want.
I'm guessing by the end of this conversation, we're going to hear everybody's impersonation.
No, don't. Cut it there. We don't want to end up on Worst Beer Blog.
Yours was totally wrong.
I was just on Worst Beer Blog. I felt like I won a medal.
What did you do?
We did. We did the genetically engineered yeast beer.
No, you guys did the
Steroid Era.
Steroid Era.
Yeah.
Oh, I love the fact that you did that because. One of the things she does is she finds things that is funny to her.
Yeah. Yeah. And she wasn't even trying to dog it. She was just like, this is just, you know, this is cool. This is out there.
More importantly, you guys were the ones most geographically preferenced to do it because 30 years ago you existed.
Yep.
Which means you were there in the East Bay during
the Bash Brothers, man.
During those guys and everything else.
Where Spearblog was not liking it?
No. She posts. So
she just posts things that catches her eye.
She posts things. She did guidelines about 2 weeks ago about why she posts things.
Yes.
Right.
Well, specifically after Steroid Era, because people are like, am I supposed to be offended? She's like, no, you're just, this is just interesting.
Things that are funny to her.
Yep.
Things that are overtly offensive.
Meg Gill.
As a woman, things that are overtly sexist, because she had to make the point that she is a woman that runs this page.
Right.
And then anything related to Golden Road.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I've learned my entire Golden Road, everything, on. Because of Horse Beer Blog. Oh, my God. Who follows that?
Have you tried
that? Oh, man.
You tried the Hef, though?
Have you tried the Hef? Man.
But seriously, have you?
I used to go to Golden Road because it used to be like a block from my sister's house.
I remember
back in the affair.
Yeah, before
budget. Well, maybe not pre-affair, but...
yeah, right.
Remember pre-buy. Back in the day, they had a carry-on. It was a...
Oh, that was a good...
It was like a...
It was at the airport.
I think it was like a citrus lager or something like that. It was a...
It was at the Fresno airport, which is like such a odd... Like, you know, when it was craft beer.
Fresno Airport doesn't exactly have the best craft beer.
And it was a good beer.
That's good.
Who knows what happened to it now? I'll never know. John, what's your indie stance? Do you ever drink AB InBev beer, or are you just all craft indie?
I don't. I mean, I don't want to give them money.
You're on the right show, sir. Molson Coors, whatever they known as now.
I don't know what they are anymore either. No, I mean, because you can get. You know, if I want a macro, I brew one. I brew a beer called Eternal Tap that's 50% six row and 50% rice. I'll drink my own macro.
Is that available here, Zach?
This is the first I'm hearing of it. somebody's obviously kept me out of the loop on this one. This is his garage beer, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
So situation, you go into a place and they have Lagunitas IPA, they have
Bud Light, Coors Light.
Bud Light, Coors Light.
Modelo.
Yeah, Modelo.
Then I got Modelo. I'm buying the Modelo. Or I'm not drinking beer. I mean, I'll drink a gin and tonic.
Okay. So you offer up, switch up to a G&T.
Good. Yep.
Good. I like this guy.
Dang. he found the back door to that one. Walked right into
that's
it.
My back
Did we just become best friends?
You built that door.
I don't know, man. I have.
Why is everything gonna be yours?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not gonna. I don't want to support those breweries. I don't want to give them money. I feel bad for the people who work there and all of a sudden wake up one day because you're now a tool of basically a part of the industry that wants to destroy the part of the industry that I'm in. You know, it's coming. Those price pressures are really going to start coming. We go up to the barn in Sacramento, and you go up Highway 80 there, and right outside of Fairfield is that big Budweiser plant. And now out front, there's a big tank farm, a 500-barrel tanks, because it's a 700-barrel brew house there, but for higher gravity stuff, they're knocking out 500 barrels at a time, and that's your 10-barrel tank. That's your couple Golden Road tanks. Fuck them. I don't want to turn. I feel bad about those people. Hmm. I don't. You know, I get the people. I get why you sell out. I get why you're like, give me my check. I'm done. I don't respect you for it, but I get it. But I'm not going to give you any money.
Word.
Mike's happy.
Mikey has never been more happy.
He's going to wear that He's smile speechless. The rest of the night. He's
smitten. All right. Show's done. We're good. we got what I was waiting for.
He's just going to loop that conversation for like the next 30 minutes.
Mm. Oh, no. He's already like grabbed that audio segment. And he's
I think he's crying right now.
That's his new drop forever. Yeah.
We're good. We're good now. Well, I have a pretty serious question for you guys, and you don't have to answer it, but you're going to have to answer it.
Okay.
Loyo or Danielle?
Dang.
Two active listeners of the show.
Oh, I know.
They're listening right now.
Oh.
Zach's running away.
My lips are so tight right now. this is my fucking puppet voice right now, man.
I mean, as people, as generic people, not like as females. I mean, as
yeah, understood. I'm not gonna answer that.
I was just trying to see if I.
It's,
could get
it's literally like the most uncomfortable situation right now.
don't even want to just be like they're both the best human
those
beings.
Those bitches are both badass.
Super awesome. I was just trying to see what would happen. No, I wasn't expecting you guys. You answered wisely.
You shook the heart a little.
I kept the left on the left, so
I just grabbed him. Okay. Oh, and also they're both. Seat in my car. I have no
idea.
Oh, wow. You know, some people.
Roger.
John, you pumpkin beer. Pumpkin beer stance.
I have no idea.
Pumpkin beer stance.
Wow. That's a big conversation.
Well, that's a two-part question. Number one, is it too soon?
Drake's pumpkin beer. I'm trying to
oh, great.
Wrap we've, my mind for a pumpkin
we've
beer.
We've done a couple just for the tap room. We did one year where we actually like we got into it. We bought a bunch of like organic hard squash, like a bunch of different kinds, and we roasted them on our grill and chucked them into the mash tun and didn't add any spices or anything. And it was and we brewed it as a 4.2% just basic like a pumpkin mild, and we put it on tap.
Mm-hmm.
It was neat. You know, I like the ferment, you know, because we got again no spices, so it was really just like you got the roast squash character. I wasn't offended by that one.
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, and then we did another, and then the next year where we did a Imperial Pumpkin Porter called Rise of the Dark Gourd, which was such a good name that we actually had to make a beer to fit the name, which is unfortunately a thing that happens now. We'll get like, oh, that name's fucking good. We're going to make something with that. but again,
too good. We got to do something. Yeah.
But again, same thing. We didn't add spices. So, and I think a lot of times when people say pumpkin beer, it actually is irrelevant if there's pumpkins in it. Mm-hmm. It's all about does it have cinnamon, cloves, nutmeg, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, if I try really hard to make sure that work that everybody, if somebody comes in and wants to brew something, as long as I think it's at least marginally sellable, which means no Doppelbachs, I will let any brewer like come to me with a recipe. You know, that is a thing that we do.
How many brewers are there at Drake's?
I think the production staff's about a dozen.
Yeah,
you think. Depends on the day.
Yeah.
Who showed
well, there, you know, there's a couple people that are like kind of like half packaging, half production. Okay, yeah, so, you know, it's a hazy number, and we got a couple unfilled.
Ooh, you threw that in there. Yeah. We all caught it.
That's a new we beer, huh? Hazy them. Number.
No, that's not good enough.
Drake's doesn't feel like a haze factory either. I don't think
it's... Not a haze factory. Mm-hmm. We make Apocalypse White Label is a really... You know, that was popular, hazy double IPA. I think we're going to expand that one a little bit next year. We have that little haze program. That beer doesn't get out very much because that's a Brewhouse One beer, so I'm only making 45 barrels at a, you know, per release on that. So that doesn't, you know, given how much I have to spread it around, I could not ship any of that beer and just blow it all out in house.
Yeah.
I feel bad if you come into the tap room and there's nothing hazy on tap. I'm not here to like, you know, customers want hazy IPAs. Yeah. I'm not offended
don't
by
disappoint
bad
the haze bros.
Eh, well, you know.
Haze boys.
Haze boys.
Juicy boys.
Juicy boys.
Juicy.
Crispy boys.
You know,
all the boys.
Oh, crispy boys. I'm about that. Yeah. That's a thing. Yeah. That's
all
a thing.
All the brewers are crispy boys.
Yeah.
I have not met a brewer that isn't a crispy boy.
That is probably very true.
I'm rocking my name right now.
Yeah. Hey, everybody called it crispy boy before you called it crispy boy.
Like, I searched on tap and you just stamped it.
You stamped it on Monday.
Yeah, I just teamed
with
it
one quick text message. It's like I could have swore I said that in front of him like a day ago.
Still, we've been using that logo for a long time.
First we've seen it. Okay.
Right.
I like you though. And your beer was good. Good beer though.
Is Drake's going 24/7? Is there somebody there brewing all the time?
No, before the expansion we were 24/5 and that was really painful. Now we have the bigger brew house. We're like 6 a.m. till midnight 4 days a week. That gets us 460 barrel brews done in a day, and that's about where we're at. So
where are you guys at Tioga there? Are you what's that? What's Tioga?
We have 6 240s, 3 120s, and 7 60s. So fill in 240s.
I think on average we're 8 and 5.
Filling sevens.
Yeah. Hammering those sevens.
Roger, 70s and 210s.
You have rakes. You have rakes on a 7-barrel mash tun. I've never seen something more ridiculous, man. Come on. I got a hand grain out of 20.
But I've always wanted a rake.
Yeah.
It's a 10-barrel. It's the smallest 10-barrel in existence, but it's a 10-barrel mash tun.
It's a 10-barrel for if you're doing like a 9-Plato beer.
Yeah, I can crunk it. I can crank out some 10-barrel 5%.
He can crunk it out, too.
Yeah.
But I can also struggle at some like
you could crunk it with his crocs.
7-barrel mash tun, too. Like, that's what I'm doing.
Oh, you're probably like full to the door on that thing. I took a look.
Oh, no. The first 10-barrel batch we did our lager. 5%.
Mm-hmm.
It was within 2 inches of the door. And
yeah.
I was like, well, you can't do an IPA in here.
Yep. All right. Sevens it is.
I called the tank supplier the next day and I was like, hey, man, know the system you gave me? He's like, don't ever sell it to anybody else ever against a 10 barrel. He's like, why? I was like, because it's not.
It's a 7.
it's a big 8.
8 Husky.
There you go.
8 Husky.
Well, John, what's your favorite non Drake's spot in the Bay Area to drink at?
Temescal, probably. I like Temescal. Those guys are making great beers. They make a lot of nice low gravity stuff. They have great pills. They have a great lager program going on. Just nice guys in general. Close to my house. I mean, them and Ghost Town. And honestly, like they're both making good beer. They're both real close to my house.
That's, there you go, boom.
Yeah, that's, boom. That's kind of my boom right there. So
I was funny. Let's start throwing brews at him. Nick him rated for us.
I've got Pine and Palm near my house. So
yeah, he never comes.
He only goes to throw rocks at it.
It's a funny story
that I
though.
Have to be here for because if not,
get closer. It's a funny story with Pine and Pollen because it's like you don't go there and he gives you shit and you start going there and he gives you shit and you're just like, he's like, what are you doing here? It's twice this month.
What are you
and you're
doing
like,
here?
Oh, fuck you here too, man.
I feel unwelcome.
Cool, thanks. just means I recognize faces.
You look like a guy I don't like. No, it's my brother. He lives down the street. It's.
Well,
I probably go out and drink cocktails more than I go out and drink beer. I can give you the cocktail walk of Uptown Oakland real easy.
Nice.
Hey, what podcast is that? Because I want to listen to that one.
I know, right?
The Cocktail Hour. I'm sure there is.
Everyone followed Old Fashioned Elon on Instagram, please.
Yeah, if you know a string of Old Fashions for this guy to go
in Fresno,
drink his way through.
All right.
And talking about Old Fashions, I actually took John Galulli over to one of our favorite spots over in Clovis, Michelangelo's, for a nice little Old Fashioned.
Yep.
We're talking
I got the
cocktail.
Black Walnut one.
Yeah,
it's either Old Fashioned A or 1A or 1B in Fresno. So nothing wrong with that place.
Yeah, it was like you got to have one of these while you're down. It was worthwhile.
What's this we're drinking right now here, Raj?
We are drinking Citra Drop. Ooh. It is a
Citra Drop.
It used to be called the Citra Drop, nope, but we got rid of the because it just didn't work. But it's El Dorado, Citra, and Lemon Drop, so you get the Citra Drop.
Yep.
Yeah.
Same beer minus the.
Yeah.
It's good.
This batch is, I think, 6.2. It's been anywhere from
yeah, I knew that.
I don't know if it's ever been sub 6, but I know it's been as high as 6.8 in the past. You know, when you get a brand new system, sometimes you get different numbers.
You do, man. You do.
You use your one-off beers to figure it out, and this is one of the ones we use to figure it out. So
awesome.
Calibrating beer.
It's such a good beer, too. It's a really good beer. I was really enjoying this one at the tap room.
Way too clear.
Well,
it can't be an IPA if it's this clear.
Yeah, I know.
What?
What do you mean?
IPAs aren't clear.
I didn't know you had a filter.
You made a Citra with a blonde? Or you made a blonde Citra drip
here? What?
It's a waste of Citra? Yeah, right?
Nick or Matt, was there any culture items you wanted to wedge in there before we moved on here? Just want to check in.
Golden State hops. Woo. Coming in hot. Fresh batches of Golden State hops will be hitting the valley and are available this weekend at the Guild Mixer.
Oh,
nice.
What, like, just mix. Like to purchase as hop purchasing?
Yeah, that's a good question.
What kind of hops do they make?
They got...
What kind of grow?
Cascade, kind of Magnum, grow? And Chinook.
Cascade, Magnum,
Those hops don't fry in the Central Valley. That's what they're saying.
I can handle 100 degree heat.
Those hops are hot right now, I'll tell you that. We'll get you some hot ones, guys.
Last year their Chinook was fantastic. Oh, sorry. Last year their Chinook was fantastic.
They grow a good Chinook.
Last year they did. This year I haven't gone out there.
Oh, uh-oh. This year sucks.
I haven't got to go play with those hops this year, I'm not going to speak.
What happened to last year's?
So it's the same thing that as beer geeks, when we come in and you're making a beer and like, well, last year, this tasted way better last year. So now you guys do it to the hop growers. You're like, this hop was like way better last year, bro.
Have you ever drank wine? Every year it's different.
You know, it's an agricultural product.
You know, it was hotter this year. It was rainier this year. It makes everything different. You know, it holds on to... You know, if it doesn't rain much, a grape will hold on to its sugars and not swell.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly how to like portray that over to hops, but it's the same thing. It won't swell. It won't be as big, but it'll be tighter. It'll be more robust, more strong. You know, it's the same flavor packed into a smaller cone. It's going to be bigger and more robust. Now that might be a good thing for like a big hop, but maybe not good for a small flavorful hop. So. Year to year, they're all completely different. It's an agricultural product. It's growing. It's part of its environment. Yeah, I went to Fresno State. I did
stupid hops. So.
God, you stay Chinook in front of this guy, and he just starts fucking spitting out words.
I'm going to throw two headlines at you real quick,
right.
Which we briefly talked about it earlier. But Boston Beer Company is officially taking Truly Hard Seltzer on tap to bars and restaurants. So you can research that as much as you want.
Truly's Boston Beer Company. Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So.
Fuck Truly.
And then...
ain't no laws.
ABC is officially opening an investigation with Amazon because Amazon is starting a program where they're shipping alcohol to your door. And ABC says that you must have a brick and mortar that is open at least half of the hours to what your delivery service is offering. And people tried to go to this place, and it was a nondescript warehouse that they were not able to walk into. So, I guess.
For ABC or Amazon? Amazon.
ABC's got some of the goofiest laws out there, man. I can't keep track of some of the crazy shit.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've got some of the goofiest laws, but I think they've realized a lot of them are goofy, and they just refuse to enforce them unless they have to.
But I remember at CCBA a couple years ago, they were like cracking down on people for like inappropriate social media stuff.
Yeah,
that's a big thing. And that's crazy, man. That's bull crap.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that one scared me because it was like...
Well, because it's like your personal Facebook page, you know?
Hypothetically speaking, if you're not following every single ABC law at the brewery, which there are a thousand of them.
Oh, yeah. People don't even know what they are.
But the one you overtly break is the social media one. It could open an investigation to everything. Uh-huh. I do not go anywhere near breaking the social media one. I have people who ask me to post about events, and I say I can't do it. I can't. I can't touch this. I can't do it for my personal page. If you make a post, I will share it with my brewery page because I'm just sharing your stuff.
Right.
But I'm not going to originate this. But I mean, I'm sure every brewery out there, not Pine and Palm, probably breaks more than a dozen a day without knowing it and without intent or anything else. And this is a legal disclaimer. Pine and Palm is breaking nothing. We are really good guys. We have the rule book in our office, and we read it every day.
And we think we understand it.
They keep it behind we're pretty the class. Sure
we're right. We also see when other people break it every single day.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and we're not... The last thing I'm going to do is make an obvious rule break to open up other rule breaks.
Even your cornhole is at the right measurements. That's how freaking on it you are.
Oh, we took it away.
What?
Because ABC said one thing and TTB said something else.
Yeah.
I mean, ABC cornhole, said 20 and TTB said 18. You can't go in the middle and go 19. You just get rid of it because you can't win one way or the other. Also... Who's ready for this? Here's some super indie, super inside knowledge. TTB did a surprise inspection of the Den Brew House in Kerman. So TTB is the federal regulators of alcohol. They have the right to come and inspect anytime they want. They picked a very small brew house restaurant in Kerman to inspect. And it's so random that while they are in town to do this inspection, they didn't touch anybody else because no one else was drawn. They just went to this one.
Weird.
That's very odd. That's in a small town in the middle of the valley.
And they're really just packaging for themselves. You know what I mean?
He is a brew house for his... Yeah. He is a barbecue restaurant where he brews on a one-barrel system for himself.
It's just draft.
That's just silly.
It's
why do they spend time doing that when they are like... When we all, you know,
he won the lottery.
Yeah, he did.
But you know, we're in an industry now where we got, you know, the big players are out there doing hella shady stuff. And, you know, I mean, not to call anyone out, but, you know, Firestone's pretty notorious for dropping free shit out there. If the TTB wants to chase someone down, you know, chase down somebody who's fucking over the, you know, the other brewers.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Damn TTBs.
Well, you know,
How many T's before the B? I
mean, you know, enforce the laws that actually matter. Oh, you put something on your Twitter feed about how you were at an event. Well, you know, that gave value to an account.
Because that's easy for them to find.
It's true.
They're just lazy. They're just like, we can just watch social media all day and get some people.
Don't worry, I have no followers.
All right, well... I think we're good there. Time to move on to some regular show things of stuff and whatnot. Oh, wait. There's a new beer, so
I'll do it.
I love gold.
Well, if I wouldn't known you'd do that, I would have.
You wanna do it together with me?
No. No, I don't.
You're on your own. Will you call me tonight?
So it's called Properly Filled Crowler. See how it's like above the lid right now? It's like when your soda goes above the straw. No, like if you've ever had a crowler when you open it and like it doesn't come out, that's why it tastes like shit, because they underfilled your crowler in the tasting room and it got oxidized.
So every crowler I've ever bought in my life.
That's what it should look like. Right there. That's what it should look like.
Alright. 559-492-0542 is the voicemail hotline.
It's a hotline.
For the Dorktown Network.
Call the line, because it's
you
hot.
Can call into any of the podcasts that are on this network.
All of them. Call them all.
Yep.
See what happens.
Yep.
What are you jumping into?
You can also email us, perfectpourpodcast@gmail.com.
You sure can.
And record something. Do that.
You can create your own podcast and email it into us.
I think that's the cool thing to do. All the kids are doing it. As we're sorting out a new beer going around the table.
Did you say you're passing around a Pliny? What?
You crowlered a Pliny?
Hey, Pine and Palm. You mean Pisces?
I feel like Pliny. I feel like the TTTTB might not be happy with
you. The first rule about Pliny Club is you don't talk about Pliny.
I think Vinny might actually be tougher on this than the TTB.
Yeah.
Which Whole Foods has already sold out of Pliny again, but Moreau Shell had a wall of cases. I don't know how quickly that's going to sell out.
So what's this one now,
Roger? This is the collab that we did with Zach's Brewing and Drake's.
Oh.
It is.
It's already out?
Aptly named the Wee Pogonizer.
What was this, like a 5-day turnaround on this?
Something like that.
Today is exactly. What day we released?
2 weeks.
We're 12,
right?
We're 12 days? 13 days?
I don't know. When we're releasing this podcast.
It's Friday.
Oh. Yeah, Friday, so it's Friday. It's 2 weeks plus 3 days.
Labor Day weekend, bro. Woo!
Yes. Yeah, no. Today, the day we're drinking it, Tuesday. Sorry, everyone in podcast land.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Sorry, I broke the fourth wall.
You've torn the mask off the whole endeavor. Oh, the
man. People are supposed to think.
Worked, what, five, four, six, 7 years? To
reset.
Keep
let's
that
start again.
Quiet.
We're going to have to record
people
this.
People are supposed
thing
to think
again.
That we're drinking at 6 a.m. on Fridays.
Leave it to Roger.
Yeah.
This is.
Wow, these guys
tour.
Start the show at 6 a.m.
6 a.m. Exactly. 2 weeks old right now. Actually, it's, 2 weeks old. Well, 2 weeks and like 3 hours old, as in fermentation kicked off about 8 p.m. that night. So.
There you go.
Go. Yeah. This is really the roids beer where you put this thing on the roids.
Yeah. Go on Netflix and watch it.
We've been bumping our heads over the past week, really trying to keep an eye on this beer and trying to get it to where we need it to be for the timeline that we actually had to get it. And I mean, the idea we were just blurting out there, trying to get this thing nailed down and finally getting it brewed. We're sitting there saying, okay, we're gonna cross our fingers on this one. Hopefully we've got the timeline. And honestly, it's a beer that's continued to get better every day, which is great because it's something that's gonna keep getting better. It's gonna last. It's just a really cool idea and something that we were able to get together really fast. With each other in mind and making this happen for Central Valley Craft Beer Week, which is a very new situation.
Is this gonna be only available then, or is like? You're going to see this at Drake's at all?
We're talking about having those guys up so we can brew another batch of it, yeah.
But like this batch won't be available in Oakland?
No, not right now.
Yeah.
There's not much.
Yeah,
well, there's not a lot, but also...
Like, there's not like mini kegs so much?
Well, I am a 7-barrel system. I am a 7-wide system. So, yep.
8-wide.
Eight-wide, yeah. So, but... Only I can make it and sell it, so I would have to then turn around and sell a keg or two to Drake's, and it's
always when you have a cola beer, it's always on the brewery that has the tanks.
It's their beer.
Yeah.
Whoever ultimately brews it, it's their beer.
I always think about that.
Wort, like, but no one has the ability to move wort. Whoever ferments it, when it turns from sugar water to alcohol water, it's their beer, and they are in control of it at that point, and they have to deal everything with it. So.
I wonder. I would think there had to be like. Has there ever been like a real altercation about somebody collabing and then wanting them like, get that beer out of that tank. Don't serve that beer. And one's like, I think it's fine. I'm going to serve it. Don't you fucking serve that beer. It's shit.
I almost didn't want to serve it myself.
Oh.
But it says the reverse, where it is, I didn't want to, but they came in and all made me. Not aggressively. They just saw my hesitance and knew why I was saying it. Because I was, again, the servicing brewery.
Mm-hmm.
If I wasn't the servicing brewery, I'm just like, yeah, move it, man. If there's consumer backlash, guess where it's coming back on? You guys. But no,
need that
so
money.
My thing was the consumer backlash comes back to me.
I just bought a new Tacoma. I need that money, bro. Move that beer.
No, this beer has been really good to us and has been, for the turnaround time we did, I'm super happy with it.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in it, so I could totally see like a few more days, it's just going to kind of chill out and kind of fold in on itself a little bit more, but it's actually kind of fun for people to experience it now because, as brewers, like we drink beer out of the tank all the time.
Oh, my like, least favorite experience every day.
What the hell?
This man is sick, everybody. This man is sick. Very, very sick.
I'm going to invite you down to a.
I've had beer out of the tank and it was a great experience.
What are you saying?
I'm going to invite you down for a full tank tasting.
He'll
be ready to.
I think what he's saying is just don't drink beer out of the tank at Pine and Palm.
Mikey's willing to stop by every day after work for a week see what you're talking about.
By Thursday I'm like, all right, dude.
Drink beer of the tank.
All right, you're right. This sucks.
But it goes in our mouth and it somehow comes out. It doesn't go down. Let me give you a currently fermenting blonde ale. Tell me what you think.
No.
Don't drink fermenting beer.
In about 6 hours, you'll tell me something completely differently.
Although I do that to tours sometimes.
Oh yeah.
Just like, oh man, here we're doing the whole thing. Here we go. Oh, perfect. There's someone brewing. We're going to go taste wort. Then we're going to walk in the cellars. This beer got knocked out yesterday. You don't really want. You
it's
can maybe
just chugging.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Here.
One day. It's been in there one whole day.
Here's a pilsner that looks like a Northeast IPA. Who wants to drink this? I do.
Oh, everybody does. Oh, come on. Yeah.
Hey, you chew that. You don't drink it. You chew it.
Who's ready to go to a 24-hour diet?
Are you kidding? I could if I started making hazy pilsners, there'd probably be a huge stupid market for it.
Haze anything, man. Haze anything.
Let's make a hazy pilsner.
I make a hazy blonde, and people are just like, yep, I'll take it.
I saw hazy.
All right. Yeah,
I saw
hazy. That's all. That's it. That's the magic word.
Hazy blonde exists in Fresno. In beer or otherwise.
I think one thing we can get from the hazy situation is that low IBUs sell.
Yeah.
That is just something that obviously has been continuously trending in the market.
It's non-bitterness.
It's popular.
No, I do not like this.
The low ABV IBUs right now are just killing it. And
No bitter.
Man.
It sounds like a Pearl Jam song.
I remember the Super IPA, which was Alpine and New Belgium.
Super IPA. Yeah.
That was nothing was more bitter than that beer, and it was beautiful.
Oh, speaking of Alpine, let me find
just
out.
Go, oh, quick. Just Alpine, go to the Pacific
Alpine,
Northwest.
Alpine was
and
a big
have,
one in this market for a while, and they just kind of I just don't see it too often anymore. But they had
we're mad at them.
Beautiful Nelson.
We're mad at them right now.
There's like some weird thing with them, though, right? I mean, after they got bought by Green Flash, and Green Flash has some kind of situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, they bankruptcy sailed themselves off to another investment company.
Yeah.
But in fact, they sold themselves off to Meg Gill's boyfriend.
Oh, is that what happened?
Uh-huh.
Wow. He's the other part of that equation.
More drama.
Yeah. Read Worst Beer Blog. We're here for you, Worst Beer Blog.
We love Worst Beer Blog.
The other day, I was at a craft beer store, and they kind of rearranged their...
Non-disclosed.
it shall remain that way. They kind of rearranged their beer shelving, and I was like, oh, I've never really looked at this door, never paid much attention to it. And I looked, and they had an Alpine Duet on the shelf.
Whoa.
I was like, oh. I was like, okay.
Hello.
And I looked, and it was only one. And then I looked closer, and it was in a Green Flash bottle. And they were embossed with the Green Flash on the same bottle style. And I looked... And there was a date code on there, and it said 2016 on it.
Oh,
vintage.
Yeah. So I found that there was just one bottle chilling in the cooler, and I was like,
images available.
I was like, dang it.
Someone's going to buy that. You should have bought it.
I kind of wanted to buy it.
That would have been a good beer for this podcast. You know,
old beer drawer.
we have an old beer drawer.
Well, once a year, Pine and Palm has a bad beer bottle share.
Oh,
and we have
we got plenty.
We can donate to the cause.
Yeah,
I'm not sure I want to go there.
beer traders and beer connoisseurs who have lost beers in the back of their fridge, and we all think it's funny, and they bring it to me, and I will keep them in my fridge, thinking about theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And once a year, I don't know when it's coming up. It's probably going to be in January this year during the dead weeks, and we'll just invite everyone in on a Thursday. We're gonna have a really good time, and we're all gonna get tasters. And there's going to be a very big spit bucket in the middle.
Yeah.
And we're having fun. We have a Harley Davidson Pilsner from 1987.
Oh,
I can assure you that's great.
This year, we have, what else do we have? This doesn't make fun of the brewery at all. I'm going to very much claim this. This doesn't make fun of the brewery at all, but we have a, Track 7. Hazy IPA from like 2017.
Ooh.
So obviously no one wants to drink a hazy IPA from 2017, but it's one of our guys bought it, lost it in his fridge.
Nope.
Hopefully it's nice and brown now.
And so,
nice little brown haze.
It's in a can.
Okay,
so
nice brown haze.
Hasn't been completely oxidized.
I think it's going to be terrible. What some people don't understand too, even with like a lot of these cans, and I know a lot of people, you know, especially like Track 7 back then was probably utilizing the mobile canning line. And as great as they are, and how, you know, it opens up the opportunity for a lot of smaller brewers to be able to package product. I mean, it really is just a great system, but it does have its flaws. It does have its flaws. And a lot of the times those sills get loose. And especially with age and carbing and changes of temperature and that CO2 trying to push off, like it eventually opens up that sill. So I'd like to be there to see it open. Wouldn't like to be there to try it though.
If you're not willing to drink, you can't come.
Well, I'm not going. So. So you can take my name off the list.
I think the oldest beer we had recently was a Stone and Joy by. It was the 4th of July. Was it 2013?
Oh, wow.
Mm.
Not that old.
It was a 6-year-old Stone and Joy by. And it tasted like that Ruination we had earlier.
Yeah.
And some beers sometimes just turn into malt bombs.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. What was it? We had, we were at the parents' house, I believe, for the brother's birthday, and there was a No Mercy Pale, which was a year old, hazy pale that we had from Tioga. Ooh. It was still in the fridge, and the guy's like, "Hey, can I drink this?" And I was like, "Sure, you can." And it didn't taste as bad as I thought it would.
Oh, so nice.
It held up. And it was mobile canning line.
That's killer. That's awesome.
Experimental beer, and it did all right.
Those
Wild Goose canners can hit a seam.
Yeah.
So
we're now, their DO levels or whatever you want to call them, but that seam's going to hold and the carbonation's going to hold. You're going to open a 4-year-old beer and it's going to snap and sound like it should.
But
then you're going to pour it. And you're gonna smell it, and it's gonna smell like a 4-year-old beer.
Yeah, just don't let it warm up too much. I've had a few of those, and it's gonna be hilarious as a group of friends,
so, you know, doing it.
That's one thing that we keep track of is DO when we package, and that's something that we test regularly. So, especially if we do mobile canning, they will take the time to test it and make sure that they readjust the machine if the levels are too high.
And Tioga has their own canning line now. That's a real addition to what they have going on. I mean, me and John got a chance to walk around over there yesterday, and they were showing us the new canning line. Awesome system, great addition.
The canning machine at canning line at Tioga is fully running, and we just got our flash pasteurizer online too. So
nice.
Fantastic. Here's some highlights from the drawer.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, so this was
Nick has gone into the bad beer drawer.
This was a gem for Stone this year, the Lemon Verbena edition of Stone Anniversary.
Wow.
We're all going to wake up sick tomorrow.
Wow, I rolled my eyes all the way around.
What's it like back there? Did you see anything?
It hurts. I felt the snapping noise.
Lemon Verbena. I don't know why they thought to do that, but they did it in August of 2012.
Oh my gosh.
And this is for Roger. This is before they were 559. This is W Brewing's Marzen.
Whoa.
So this has to be.
I love gold.
Let's put this back. We're gonna drink this another day.
Oh yeah, no. I wanted you to see this and feel all the feels.
W Brewing.
Yeah, this is W. So this is 2010, 11 maybe.
Isn't Stone on their 22nd anniversary? This is the 16th.
Uh huh.
No, we're drinking that. Come on, pour it.
And I remember when it was fresh, and it was terrible when it was fresh.
Hey, it could have gotten better. Who knows?
Pour yourself as much as you want, but no one can drink it until we all have some. We all drink together.
Oh God.
We all drink. Beer bottle shares work.
God, I just said I didn't want to be part of this.
You can't warn anyone.
Ooh, look, it's nice and it's already picked up some good, like, dark oxidized color on the malt.
There's floaties in here.
Ooh, it's a top pour.
There is.
Top pour.
John and Zach may not have it, but good job, top pour. John, you have a dump glass there.
That nose.
Good to know.
It will more than likely make its way to the dump glass.
Is there a dump glass?
Oh, yeah. It smells nice and malty.
Is there a song
for
a dump glass?
No, wow. There is not.
I don't know if we should song. This has
Paul work on a song for
the
dump
cap
glass.
Has BPA. I don't know if we should drink this. The BPA is probably fully dissolved.
Everyone do this correctly. Be gentlemen.
All right.
Oh, no.
Cheers. I'm too far to reach, but.
I'm getting up.
All right. We're giving it an honest chance.
All right. Honest chance. Got to really having a hard time getting a pass. past my nose.
Yeah, so like Roger said, this is no reflection on the brewery. This is our own doing.
You eat raisins, so you should like this.
This
beer.
Is totally this is totally figs.
I did get raisins. Golden raisins.
It's just like
it just tastes. There's it's not like I'm sucking flat, on pennies. It's just flat and resiny and just lemon.
Oof. You can tell there used to be hops in here.
Yeah,
you know, that used to be hops.
That oxidized dead hop flavor. It's like its own grossness.
Have you ever had like a Lagunitas IPA that got lost in your fridge for 6 months?
Or all of them.
That's fresh Lagunitas, right? 6 month old.
No,
Mr. Randy.
I don't know. Wow.
Shout out to the Lagunitas rep in the area.
I forgot to add flavor to it.
This is a good
flavor.
Great palate cleanser, this beer.
Yeah.
It's not terrible. I just want to drink it.
It's sweet.
Well, don't worry. We have one more of those. That's why I grabbed that one.
Oh, good. Thank God. Ooh. Thank God. Oh, yeah, we could try it next year.
Yeah.
Oh, Roger's actually.
Yeah.
Oh,
no. Uh-oh.
Hey.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that's a gag button.
We haven't had somebody puke on the show before.
He's the guy that pushed it on everybody.
No, yeah, I didn't say I was going to enjoy it.
Feel the wrath.
Why don't you go have some double ciders there, bro? Can't handle your stuff.
Feel the wrath.
Nobody show up to.
I blame the Calypso hops. Those aren't very popular anymore.
No, they're not good.
Just for information for those locals, Pine and Palm won't be opening so early tomorrow.
Actually, they won't be opening at all.
They're playing D tomorrow.
Wait, what year is that beer from?
12.
Oh, never mind.
All right, well, we're going to try and get through some our voicemails here. So
nice.
Let's get it going here.
It's listed as a rye IPA.
Montana Jim here. I'm currently in the world between worlds. But I had to call in with a Total Wine parking lot report.
Uh-oh.
Rancho Cucamonga edition. So I'm in Total Wine. Buying some festive treats for a party that the Mrs. Fontana Jim is throwing on Sunday. And I hear a couple an aisle over, and they're walking around. They sound kind of confused, and they find someone on the floor of Total Wine, and they ask him, "Hey, man, do you guys have any White Claw? Because all I can see is a Truly stuff, but I'm looking for some White Claw." And I'm like, "Oh,
not into Truly, dude. I like White Claw."
So
White Claw wasted.
So the person on the floor goes and helps them, takes them over to find the White Claw, and I hear them giggling, giggling on their way back, and the husband says, "We should totally just buy all their White Claw. Yeah, because we're having people over next weekend." And the wife then says the exact thing I'm thinking. She goes, "What, you mean a bunch of white people?"
Yeah. Oh, man.
So giggling and laughing, they bought, I think it was 8 12 packs.
Ooh.
Of
at $20
the
a pack?
White Claw variety packs from the Total Wine Ranch of Cucamonga.
Oh, maybe not Total Wine.
What has this world come to?
Oh, is this a BevMo parking lot report?
Total Wine.
Oh,
but
so he's
but we only have the BevMo bumper, so that's what
so
we have to
do. First off, so Fontana Jim has hit me up.
Get that mic over to you.
Oh, I thought I just moved to it.
Ooh.
Sucks for you, Nick.
Oh, don't. No. There we go. There we go.
So actually, Fontana Jim hit me up this week about pouring for me at CCBA. And hey, Fontana and Jim, you have to listen to this podcast, but yes, you can pour for me.
Whoa, look at that.
That means
Fontana and Jim pouring for
me. That just means you're going to go around drink while he's pouring for you.
Oh, no, that means that Fontana and Jim just raised his hand to be my bitch for a day. Ooh. And I'm going to go get drunk.
And he's gladly accepted.
He's going to stand behind a booth and pour my beer next to other beers from Fresno. He'll hang out with Matt.
I still don't know.
Because he'll be right next to us.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll hang out with Steve and Zach because he'll also be right next to us. And me and Cole will be nowhere around. Congratulations, sir. You have signed up for a shit day.
Congratulations.
I still don't understand if that couple was ironically buying White Claw or I don't know. They're laughing about it, but then they bought a shit ton of it. So I don't get that couple.
It sounds like they were just trying to make somebody's day. I don't know. Somebody's day.
All right, well, we're going to continue on with voices. We're going to move into the email portion of the voicemails.
Hey, Perfect Pour. This is the Buffalo Richard calling in. Last week's show, Bill mentioned drinking Budweiser in Europe. but all the bottles were labeled simply Bud, sounds right? Cool. Apparently you guys didn't hear me talking to you through the speaker, giving you the answer, so I thought I'd call in, give you a little beer history slash education on this one. So this is all due to trademark claims and disputes that go back over a century, some that are still being fought out around the world. And here's the Cliff Notes version. Mikey, this is about lager, so don't talk over me too much.
Try not to.
The Old Kingdom of Bohemia, which became part of the Czech Republic. There's a town in the Czech language, and forgive my pronunciations of these Czech words here. The town is pronounced something like Budějovice. And this region also had a lot of German speakers, so a lot of the towns kind of went by two names. And in German, this town was known as Budweiss. So anyways, there's been brewers making lagers in this part of Bohemia for centuries. A lot of this beer was simply referred to as Budweiss beer. And some of the beer started getting imported to the U.S. in the 1870s, and that's about the time that Adolphus Busch decides he wanted to make a Bohemian-style lager with a nod to those from the town of Budweiss, hence the AB product of Budweiser, right? So AB gets bigger and bigger. They want to trademark all their products and all that, you know, kind of business stuff. So about a century ago, a lot of these Bohemian brewers that were using the Budweiss name got into an agreement with Anheuser-Busch that AB could use Budweiser in North America as a beer name, and all these Czech breweries would have the right in Europe to use Budweiser as a regional style designation, or Budweiss. So this is why basically all the AB product, or the Budweiser in Europe is labeled simply as Bud. They can't use the name Budweiser on their labels throughout most of Europe. So the main Czech player in the trademark dispute over the last few decades has been a place called, something like Pivovar Budějovický Budvar. Once again, my great Czech there. It's also basically you could translate that to Budweiser Beer Brewery. It's a state-owned brewery in Czechoslovakia. In Europe, you would see their beer sold as Budweiser Budvar, and in the U.S., you would see their beer labeled as Czechvar. You may have seen it on your shelves in the import section. It's pretty good Czech lager. Anyways, you can Google Budweiser versus Budvar, see all the differences in the labels, get more into the story if you really want to geek out about it. But that's your history lesson for the day. Keep up the good work. Check your dates, and remember, beer stays colder in Buffalo.
That's true.
This is very true.
All that because last week, somebody's father-in-law was talking about had the big Bud on the labels when he
actually
was there.
Been to Europe and drank Bud over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good good little history lesson from Exopero. What? I need a beer because all I have is this fucking stone thing.
Wait, so that was XL Perro? I know that guy.
You know XL Perro?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Oh, yeah. And I know Stewie a little bit. Yeah. But I know his dad more.
He's a good man and has been very good to us over the years.
He's a cool cat.
We have several beers that he's given us in the fridge that. Maybe we'll bust one out.
You want a little bit more of that stone?
No, thank you.
Stop trying to push that on me, bro.
Wait, there's two putted palms. I have no idea which one.
I have no idea which one. You don't know either.
Pick one.
No, you don't know. I got this one now.
You're getting hazy or not hazy?
Had it.
Hazy.
I saw it. It's hazy.
Bring back the not hazy.
Is this a collab one? Wait.
That's a collab.
All right. Good. Because I want some Drake's.
John named it.
I was pleased with the name.
What's the name?
Wee Pogonizer.
Wee Pogonizer.
So it's a session version of an IPA, so Wee Nog. We always wanted to make a Wee Nog, but we haven't yet. And then it's got Pog
Wee
in it.
Wee as in small.
Wee as in small. Wee Pogonizer.
I like
it. Hold on a second.
Uh-oh. We're going to have... Here we go. Here's when collabs go bad.
Uh-oh. he's reading the test results.
When collabs go bad.
Test results are in.
They never collabed again.
Oh.
All right, we got one. We recorded early, so if somebody left a voicemail, like, why didn't they play my voicemail? Because we recorded early. Sorry, bros. The last voicemail of the week.
Hey, guys. And now time for another Fontana Jim True Confession. Okay, so True Confession.
He is Chino.
The Mrs. Fontana Jim was hosting a baby shower over the weekend. Me being the boozer that everybody knows I am, I was in charge of picking up some of the festivus libations. And so I did my due diligence, and I researched, and I found this 8-pack of varietals in the sparkling seltzer section.
By this Jim hates these seltzers, but he can't stop talking about them.
There's a sparkling peach, a strawberry lemon, a mango. Well, there's a third one. It's a blue can, or a fourth one.
Blue can.
And true all confession. Blue. Yeah, I think I liked them.
Oh,
I
like
the soda pop. So I
he switched
apparently
over.
I draw the line at frozen beers, but I don't seem to have a problem with ciders. So, true confession. Oh, nice note. The strawberry lemon one, it kind of reminded me of those, like a strawberry and cream candy. It's actually quite tasty. This is the Fontana Jim saying, I'm ashamed. I kind of like some sparkling
ciders. Oh, my God. Uh-oh. What have you done to him?
Oh. Empty cans.
That's the worst. Thing. He should have called an old girlfriend instead of calling us. We're talking about sparkling hard seltzers and shit.
Sparkling Brunos.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Wait, I could have sworn
that could
I
be
saw
a thing.
Totally Chew Your thing. Beer called this. And why isn't... No, that was Fontana Jim, but I could have swore I saw my notifications that Chew Your Beer called, but...
You probably called
Dortown. Oops. He's like, I called them. I just got to double check, because I don't want Chew Your Beer to get upset about anything here before we move on.
Hello, Gold!
Chew's there. I'm missing a chew. We'll get it next
And Matt's
week.
Doing his own show now.
Industrial Arts Brewing Company. We have Wrench, which is a Northeast IPA. I saw that it was packaged on 7-1, so we have to get through this beer. Can't wait any longer. It's already almost 60 days old.
And who's the brewery?
Industrial Arts.
Industrial Arts. This is donated to us by Captain Whiffo.
Ooh.
So this is...
I believe it was Captain Whiffle.
Yes.
It was an unmarked package.
Garnerville, New York.
He sent us that, a Modern Times collab.
Yeah,
that's right here.
The Captain Whiffle one.
Oh.
There it is.
Which it's a stout, so it could warm just a little bit. This other one is an oak-aged imperial stout with cocoa nibs and Modern Times coffee. So
what is this?
That should
drink. Is that a
not that.
Roger, pay attention.
That's a Northeast...
Is that a Drake's logo on the
which
can there?
That's not open.
Drink this or not? Yeah,
the one in your hand.
The one in my hand's in a drink.
Yeah.
I'm asking if this is one of the drinks.
You're getting all
that. Not that.
Are you White Claw wasted right now?
White Claw wasted.
Yeah.
That guy's had too many.
He's getting dehydrated from all the bubbles.
Too many claws.
There are no laws.
No laws when claws. When you're having claws, there's no laws. Honey, there's no laws when you're having claws.
Who owns claws? I've known for a while.
I don't know. Is it White Claw own White Claw? Because I looked on it and it says White Claw.
They're. I think Mike's Hard Lemonade is the parent company.
Yeah. They are.
Are they? Wait.
Yeah, they are.
But wait, hard lemonade's not a thing anymore?
Apparently now we stretched out into White Claw.
Yeah.
Going down the table.
I have no
problem
with hard seltzer. Because it's a beer, it's weird. But you have a problem with hard seltzer?
Oh, no, I don't have a problem with hard. I'm trying to make hard seltzers.
I don't want to
shut up about hard seltzers.
I can't make what they make and sell it to accounts because I'm pretty damn sure they're just carbonating water and adding ethanol to it and calling it beer.
So
the and lying.
The
I'm
one
not
that,
gonna do that.
No, you know what? I think honestly what they're doing is they're carbon filtering fermented sugar, because you can legally do that as a brewery. I can make an Aldex beer. Then they're carbon filtering, going into the bright tank, completely no flavor, and then they're building the beverage in the bright tank. Right, so like we're on our second one right now. We're going like very cocktail-inspired. Our first one was a gin and tonic-flavored one. We put a lot of spruce, cardamom. Cardamom, by the way, you should not add to your kettle because it's antifungal and really kind of fucked with the yeast. So that was an interesting learning experience on that one.
There
so,
you go.
Currently, we're doing one that's based on an El Diablo cocktail. So it's a tequila, an El Diablo's tequila-based cocktail with creme de cassis, so black currant, ginger beer,
what
and lime. First one, we just used the house ale yeast. That did not work out very well. That was so. The second one, we've got actually, we found a wine yeast that is really low in sulfur production because apparently, you know, we got some sulfur on the first one.
But you can bubble off.
We tried. We ended up scrubbing more of the gin aromatics when we scrubbed the sulfur. So, you know, the first one was kind of like, it's okay. We're a little more optimistic about the second one.
It's a learning curve.
Yeah. It's actually, you know, as a brewer, I was real surprised at how hard it is to ferment sugar.
Like, what? You shove water in the boil kettle, make it boil for 10 minutes, throw sugar, and then
more or less
it out.
Yep. Yep.
That's exactly what I plan on doing.
Yep.
our seltzer it's basically just a rice ale.
Yeah, I love that, man. And, I don't know how you ran that off.
And then the base is going to have monk fruit in it to kind of help counteract it. And then we'll probably build off of it from there.
I have no problem making one.
Yeah, I can't wait to try the flavor variants that they do with that because the base is solid. It's the super solid. I can drink that all day. Good job, Drew.
Every beer drinker,
that was a good one.
Yep.
The beer drinker goes, I will have the IPA. And the other person goes, I can't have gluten. And then the beer drinker goes, okay, I'll close out. And you know if you had something for the other person,
exactly,
have two or three more beers.
Yeah, and
plus I'll drink it.
And we've got big tasting rooms. We have people that aren't beer nerds that come to our tasting rooms. I mean, I don't have any real ambitions to go to market with it. I just want to sell it to the people that come to our tap rooms.
I'm going to keep everyone happy. Yep. I'll sell more of my beer by selling more of this beer, and I'll drink it too.
Thank you. And yes, and I will drink it too, because honestly, I'm a terrible beer nerd.
So Drake's went to Sacramento, opened up a salad there. Yep. What about a Fresno, guys?
Don't do it. It's a bad idea. It's a terrible
I like the idea of opening tap rooms. I think if we're looking anywhere right now, we'd probably be looking Silicon Valley. Would be the logical place to go next for us.
So where money is. You want to make money.
Yeah, I know, right? It's so sad. Somebody's got to do capitalism there.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's such a charity area. Somebody's got to open up some capitalism in that sense.
It's underserved in all aspects of...
This beer smells like celery.
Oh.
Like celery salt.
Yeah, it's a celery salt hazy IPA.
From Industrial Arts Brewing Company.
There's definitely lemon on the palate.
I like
celery
it.
Salt concept. That's a deep cut.
Ah, thank you.
As someone that's barbecuing, they're
only words.
Things like that, everyone's kind of like, you know, this needs a celery salt because it needs that, like,
it's a thing.
Salty thing that celery salt is, and you used it, and I would never...
It's good beer.
So, Nick, is there any beers you're looking out for?
It's just not from here.
Are we still doing?
We're trying. Throw it in there.
No, we're ruining the podcast tonight. We're taking over.
It's
what I do every time I'm on.
Roger.
This is still a solid podcast.
It's the Roger.
We're having a good conversation.
If everyone can handle it, Roger is not mic'd. Unfortunately, we didn't have a mic for Roger.
Taco party!
No tacos.
Nobody could recreate that.
There's a deep.
Nobody could recreate that.
Yeah.
Angry Chairs German Chocolate Cupcake Stout, please.
Oh my gosh.
And thank you.
That's all you need.
That's all.
Wow. Have you had that before? Is that new?
No, Angry Chairs hard to get a hold of over here.
Is that a new one for them or
they don't know. I know very little about them. I know when they do something, they do it right.
They exist and that's about it.
I know that sounds good. Matt, was there something you wanted to add to looking out for?
That's all right. I think I'm content this week.
There's a brewery you guys should be aware of called Backshore Brewing back east there in Maryland, because they use a bus for a Volkswagen bus as part of their logo.
All right,
another beer can.
I'm interested,
but they don't have the VW like you guys said that you can use the bus as long as you don't put the logo.
You gotta
on there.
Be careful about the logo on the front.
Smash
they made a different logo, so. Look out for some Backshore. I'm looking for that Drake's Brewing Steroid Era Enhanced.
That is a really weird beer. So, this is that whole genetically engineered yeast thing. And these guys from Berkeley Brewing Science have been out with this yeast for at least a year now. And a lot of people have brewed with that yeast, but very few people are very upfront about it. A couple people are, I've seen things like I've checked other breweries' websites and they're like, oh, it's a special aromatic strain. But nobody really dug in and was like, oh, yeah, they're actually using like genes from mint and melons and splicing them into the yeast. So it'll create different terpenes during production. So you know, we just got all in on that one. We got their weirdest yeast called High Sierra, which is was originally called their terpene stack because it made so many different aromatics. And we made a beer that was basically unhopped with it, so we could just taste the yeast. And when we, you know, we executed that beer, and we had this little release party where we said, okay, everyone taste this beer. And then I had six hops out on the table, and I said, vote for what hop you think will go best with these, with this yeast character that you're smelling. And, you know, we took their votes, and the top three hops were Chinook, Simcoe, and Mandarina in that order. And we made a IPA with those three hops that we thought would be the best complement to the yeast. It's a real interesting beer. I don't think that that terpene stack played all that well with hops. I mean, it made some really interesting flavors. I'm really looking forward to using it later this year in our spruce beer because I think it's got some real, like, spruce and lime and ginger elements. But those guys are doing neat stuff. Those guys have some yeast that smell like a 1 pound per barrel Cascade dry hop. And, you know, and we went in. We went all in. We talked about genetically engineered yeast and all that. And we're actually expecting a little bit of pushback from the market, but people don't give a shit anymore.
We'll get you drunk, then I'll have it, please.
I have alcohol?
Yeah.
We're good.
Well, you know, I mean, we're in the Bay Area. You kind of expect someone to be like, oh, no, it's genetically engineered. I'm going to grow a third head. But, you know, I was actually hoping to get protesters. Maybe next time.
This doesn't fit.
Come on.
This doesn't fit my vegan lifestyle.
Like, would have given you, you know, publicity.
You're like, also, yeah. You're like, it's genetically engineered.
CRISPR, pure CRISPR stuff.
You're just gonna have to have Jose Canseco come down for a day.
I know.
And be like,
but he's missing a pinky.
Yeah.
A's reference. Like, Matt looks at me like, "What's he
Bash
saying?"
Bash Brothers.
Baseball.
It's the one with the stick.
Oh, okay, I understand.
It's like cricket, but not as cool.
That was two when we were there. Coliseum. So
you don't remember the earthquake in '89 series, bro?
Ooh.
I want to talk about OJ yelling at Andrew Luck. Can I do that on this podcast?
No, we don't do tangents in this show.
Tangent!
We're a non-tangent show.
All right.
OJ's on Twitter. He's quite entertaining.
OJ's amazing on Twitter. And this week, Andrew Luck retired from the NFL. And apparently, about an hour before, OJ Simpson drafted him in his fantasy league and then put out a Twitter video of him yelling at Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck, you better fucking run and hide. Run and hide. OJ is mad at you. Run and hide.
Well, he does kill people, so.
Supposedly.
Allegedly. Yeah. Allegedly. Let's get the jargon.
He'll find
right.
The real killer one day.
He will. Look in the mirror.
Nothing funnier than that video that he put on just yelling at Andrew Luck. What did I ever do to you? You killed two fucking people.
Zach, there's no way to get off of that other than just to completely make a right turn. Is there a whale beer for you, Zach? Is there a beer you've never had and you're like, I've always wanted that beer?
You know what? Honestly, like for as long as you know, I've been selling beer now for 7 years, and you would think with like, you know, trying several beers in and out all the time, I still have not had Heady Topper.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, I still have not come.
Well, let us go to the old beer drawer.
Probably not the way I want to try it.
Let's do it. Oh, yeah.
Probably not the way I want to try it.
We throw a bunch of Headies down there.
But let's talk about old Heady, because that jackass did a video where he was like talking about Heady Topper, and he was like drinking one of them fresh, and it was real nice. And then he's like, but sometimes we like to age it because then it's more elegant. And he like pulled this old Heady Topper out, and it had turned like amber. I mean, it was so oxidized, and he was like, and it was completely bright because it had been, and he like poured it and drank it. And I remember I was at Beechwood Brewing that day.
Hold on. Who is the asshole that's doing this?
What's his name? You know, the head guy there.
The brew from
Yeah.
That asshole.
Yeah, yeah, what a jackass, man. Because we're out here on the West Coast telling everybody that IPAs are meant to be drunk fresh. And then here's this nitwit telling you to age your hops out. And I'm like, no, this is just jackassery, man. Shut up.
Jackassery!
You got, yeah, you know, you have Vinny up there is like, it's not a, you know, it's not an egg, don't sit on it. The entire West Coast is trying to communicate to beer drinkers everywhere that IPAs aren't meant to be aged because they're not meant to be aged. And here's this video. I'm like, oh, come on, man.
I thought that's who yours says. Wanted to make sure.
Yeah, yeah. Well, whatever.
So now Zach is taking that off his list.
Actually, it's still there. It's still there. Fresh, it's still on the list. Maybe
that's a great
fresh. Maybe send one fresh, send one old. I don't know.
Send two fresh in that
case.
You
don't want an old one. We all know what old IPA tastes like. Garbage crap.
Yeah. Oh. Not good. Especially, Hetty, the original unfiltered. The original haze.
The original haze. I mean, that guy made a brilliant beer. I don't know why he wanted to sit there on a video. You can find it on YouTube. Oh, and it's just like, what are you doing? Why are you even saying this to people? Or is it because it gets traded so much in the secondary market that some people grab it so you'll be like, oh, yeah, that's good, too. It's not good. It's objectively not good.
Whoops.
This is like your best content ever.
We've had it a few times, and it was...
Am I
going to
get
amazing?
Am I in trouble?
But I remember
not with
one
us,
time.
You're not.
I don't know.
Next week it's going to be bring those other guys back. They're interesting.
Sean and Roger back. Sean says things and Roger makes sure he expounds on it.
You pull that out. Pull that out. Oh, whatever,
Let
man.
Let me make sure you're saying what I think you're
I'm
saying.
Sure I've said. I'm sure I've said stupid things before.
I've never said anything.
No, so,
but I don't. But I would never tell you to drink a stale IPA.
That's right.
Actually, we just did.
But Mike,
but we didn't like
that.
It.
I didn't.
Mike, Greg, tell you to do that.
Greg from Stone didn't tell you to do that.
Greg from Stone was telling you to buy anything of his he's selling.
Hey, Greg. Greg answered us on Instagram this week, so it's a pretty big week for us.
Wow.
We've got John here and Greg from Stone. No, I just put on Instagram that I was drinking one of the beers and he made a joke about it. So, you know, we're pretty big time. Influencer.
He spent 2 seconds
of his day
not even acknowledging who we were.
Was it Greg or was it at Stone Brewing?
No, it was Greg's account.
Oh, I mean, that's impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't get overly,
yeah.
You know, asshole about that.
Matt, you're saying something. Sorry, Matt. Yeah. There you go. The one time I don't talk over Matt, and I'm like, Matt, please. And he's like, well, I don't know.
Left my head minutes ago.
I think we've had Hetty Topper on this, like sent to us on this podcast at least mm-hmm. 3 times. Two of them, they were flawless. One of them we got sent.
The last time was bad.
The can wasn't necessarily that old, but it had suspended yeast in it. So when you poured it out, it had little yeast floaties. And it wasn't bad, but I was just kind of like, is this like the bottom of the tank?
Hetty Topper does say on the can, clearly, drink from can.
Yep. They don't want you to see it, which is fine.
Yeah.
But that was.
Obviously, we were sharing it, so we made the mistake of pouring it out.
Wow.
Hey, let's
read
this
podcast.
That was before the haze craze. So, like, so now they probably could just take that off the can.
That's probably my most favorite.
There's still chunks in there.
That's probably my most favorite thing when people chime in. They send you in. They're like, hey, I think you have a bad batch. And it's just one. Obviously, it's one can.
It's one can out of the entire 4-pack.
Yeah. And it was just, it has this embedded yeast. And I was like, that's yeast. You're not going to die. That's thanks for letting us know.
It's funny how much that market's changed though, because I remember back in the day, like if there were yeast cakes on it, nobody touched it. Mm-hmm. And then now, like, you know, the hazy IPA made it a little bit more, you know, made it a little more acceptable to people. And it's like, it's kind of a cool thing because there are some IPAs out there that can hang on for a little bit, but not too long, you know.
I'm definitely more appreciative that nowadays that everybody has about 95% of the breweries have dates on their bottles or cans. But I remember going into Save Mart and seeing some Mother Earth, like Buku had like a yeast cake at the bottom. I was like, that's a pretty clear beer. Oh. And it has a yeast cake at the bottom. I was like, it's probably been there a minute.
He folded his shoulders while saying that.
Make himself more comfortable. Yeah. Should we even try to?
Nah. Let's just move on.
Is there something you were caught drinking this week of interest, Matt?
Yeah, let me pull up my Untappd really quick.
My Untappd. Bearded Brewer 87 on Untappd. Randos. John, are you on Untappd? Do you use it?
I look at it.
Hey,
look at the color of that thing.
That's John just pulled out the YouTube video. He wanted to make sure that everything was fully disclosed.
So Matt, what did you drink this one?
So Fresno Breakfast House, which is down the street from us, very beautiful venue. For the longest time we were going there, they had Luponic on draft. So unfortunately,
the bar side or the breakfast side?
The bar side. So unfortunately, they lost the Luponic handle to 21st Amendment Heller High Watermelon. So their only IPA went off.
How do you have the watermelon beer on the draft?
Luponic's a good beer, man. That is a solid beer.
Our 10 a.m. Luponics were gone. They brought in Sierra Nevada Oktoberfest, so not nearly the same, but that's what they had as far as...
That's a good one to knock out at 10 a.m., you know?
It's a good compliment.
And it fit. It paired very well.
Yeah, that's like the toast.
Yeah, so I was happy they at least had something to... I wasn't going to have to choke down something else.
Wow.
And then I went to MGA in Fig Garden Loop, and they... The Amalgamator cans that are in town are old. They're from May. May. But I found some Citraholic that was canned on 8/1. So
that's Citraholic. Yeah. Wow.
And so I found that and I tagged the brother. I was like, it's your birthday beer. It just showed up a couple days late. So
did you ever see Beechwoods? They did a 4-pack called Invasive Species, and it was just a complete ripoff of it's an attack on Ballast Point and their different flavors of Sculpin.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If you ever see that, grab it. It's freaking hilarious. We were looking out for it,
but we never made it up here.
Yeah, I don't know how much he did on that, and I don't know if he got maybe some nice C&D action off that one.
Then Moonraker's been gaining traction in town, so I had their Mist and Myth, which was a New England IPA. Where? That was really good. MGA and Fig Garden Loop.
We saw some Moonraker out and about.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah,
and draft.
Draft at Tap and Cellar. Other than Tap. They were one of the only ones, and then the MGA guys seem to have gotten their hands on some of the Moonraker cans. So
which I don't remember myself liking them a couple of years ago. So I kind of took a gamble on picking up some cans, and I've enjoyed the stuff that I picked up. So I've been pretty proud of that. And then the other day I was on the way to work. So this was about just before 10 a.m., and our favorite craft beer store, Moroa Shell, posted that they had 19.2-ounce cans of double dry-hopped Booming Rollers fresh in stock. So I was on my way to work. So I was the guy at 10 a.m. walking in there, and I picked up a Pig and a Pliny and a Booming Rollers
can. No big deal.
That's a good haul.
Right? No big deal.
It's a great morning.
Just walked up the shelf, picked up all three, and...
I guarantee that guy at the counter is like, I wish I had that guy's life.
But the double dry hop Booming Rollers, get it. Pick it up. It's a beautiful can.
It's as good as you think. You drank it already? Or you just...
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Done. Gone.
It's gone.
We're in big cot drinking, right?
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah,
you're right.
Cool.
I got confused where I was at. Bearded Brewer 87 on Untappd. Roger's on Untappd. He's one of those lurking brewers that just watches to see who checks into his beer and what they say.
How many stars?
We do. Brewers do that. It makes you crazy, but you do it.
I only care where you drink it. I don't care what you rate me. I will walk into a venue if the last 100 people in that venue mark the fact that they had one beer and it was one star, and go to the owner and be like, hey, I hear 100 people came here and drank this beer. You guys should buy some more.
Buy some more.
Eat it.
Yeah, and you can find out weird shit on Untappd, too. Like, I haven't made that beer for 9 months, and apparently people started rating it at some brewery in, like, some random tap room in San Jose. It's like, why do they have that? Where did they get that?
What's happening right now?
Yeah, so, I mean, I, you know. And
that's also, when you call Zach. You're like, Zach, what the fuck's going on, man?
It is exactly when I call a sales rep in the market and say,
you figure out what the fuck's going on out there.
Uh-huh, because that shit happens.
And San Jose would be Brittany, mm-hmm. our market manager in that area, who's doing wonders for us out there.
She's way hotter than Zach.
Zach's a little European. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, you got to say like Zach.
unless your name is Zach from San
Isabel. I'm just gonna change the Z to an X. And that's spelled with an H, not a K. Steven Zach from Zach's Brewing Company.
Wow,
Shots
fired.
Yeah.
I apparently thought that guy was a lot older than he was.
Steven's really cool.
Oh, he's a really cool guy.
I don't know about Zach.
He's making really cool beers right now. We're actually going to be taking a little trip over there tomorrow, so we can
more
get
Fresno scene.
Yeah,
taste the cheese beers.
We gotta go get our cheese on over there. Yeah. So
I'm here for it.
Gotta get those. Cheese, beers,
Jesus,
Chief,
Jesus.
Nick, was there anything you wanted to mention that you drink this week? The Nick
Speaking ADA's of Zach's, we had, or I had, his peanut butter
Nutty
chocolate
wife.
Stout.
Ah.
Yes, that is what it's called, huh? Nutty Wife.
The Nutty Wife. And that was actually made with Reese's peanut butter syrup.
Yeah.
And just to let you guys know. What? So that is some cool stuff right there.
With the dry hop of Gale.
No,
dipped the wife.
He just dipped Gale right in that boil in the whirlpool.
And I can claim to that. That was a really, really good beer. We actually had a tap takeover together, three breweries awesome. That collabed on Monday, and that was like one of the most favorite on tap that night. I got several people coming up to us mentioning that beer from Zach's Brewing Company. So that one was killer.
The peanut butter flavor is clean. I've never had one that clean.
Yeah, before. Well, it's because you know.
And I also heard it didn't kill the head retention, which is something.
I know, it's fascinating, right?
Something you got to worry about when you get oil in there.
Oh, that oil.
Burtock.
Other things, Nick?
Sure. Left on Red from Zach's also. Have you guys had the Almanac West Coast IPA in the can yet?
Mm-mm.
It's nice. Mm-mm. I had it.
It's a West Coast IPA.
Perfect.
In a can.
Clear that shit up, please. Can you? Can I? I'm gonna buy my own Brita filter and start filtering beers. You fuckers won't do it for me anymore.
I like the idea.
Get that Brita pitcher.
Can I make an IPA?
Does that fucking work?
We'll find out.
Has anybody done the science?
Charcoal filtered IPA.
Shout out to the Brewlosophy guys. Get a Brita filter. Fucking try that shit out.
I'm still upset with Almanac because they didn't do clean beers, and then they did.
Yeah.
And they had the San Francisco IPA, which was amazing fresh. And then they're like, oh, we're not doing clean beers anymore.
Oh, you like
and
that?
Then now they're doing clean beers again. It's like, God, make up mind.
I think that was when they were doing the clean beers out of Speakeasy.
Oh.
And then they...
The Speakeasy shut down?
Yeah, they basically... Yeah, they... I mean, they... To some extent, they actually inspired the Speakeasy shutdown because they were... When they pulled their business out, that was kind of like the last card standing that was keeping Speakeasy going. And they were having, you know, I used to work at Speakeasy. I don't want to talk shit on them, but they, at that point in time, they were in that death spiral. You know, they couldn't make the same beer twice because they were having a hard time getting ingredients and stuff like that. And it was just kind of a tough situation. They overspent on their expansion by a lot.
Wow. That sucks.
Which happens. It happens, man. Like expansion's tough.
The big, a lot big of money. Is when people overextend themselves, breweries overextend themselves, that's where the trouble happens.
Just realized Jim just threw out another brewery he used to work for. I think we really only heard the Red Hook and... And prior to that was...
All right, I'll do the nine. I'll do the nine real quick.
Throw the nine out there. Give us some backbone.
2 years at Red Hook as just a staff brewer, you know. I mean, and as a brewer at Red Hook, that meant you change shifts once a month from days to swings to graveyards, and you generally change from cellar to filter to brew house. I ended up as the graveyard brewer a lot. Like, I got kind of thrown off shifts, so that was kind of cool. I didn't have to... Graveyard's kind of weird time of day to work, but it was nice because it was quiet. Went to a brewery in Berkeley called Golden Pacific. That's the one that was in the death spiral. It was nice when they bounced my paycheck. He gave me a hoodie. Like, that was good.
You could stay warm as you live on the streets.
Yeah.
Hey, nice gesture, I think.
Right, right. And so then I got out of there because I knew they were going to, and I went, ended up at a brew pub that did fail. So that was pretty awesome. So I then Mendocino Brewing for a year, okay. Bounced out of there for the Dogfish opportunity, and that was pretty cool.
I did at Dogfish.
Yeah, but you know, so I'm at Mendocino, and Mendocino was kind of boring. Pardon?
You know Greg from Dogfish? Is that his name?
I know. You mean Sam?
Sam? Roger knows people that don't exist.
No, Greg's the new owner of Dogfish.
No, I know. Oh, yeah. Greg, yeah. No, and Sam was fantastic, too, man. I really enjoyed working there. That was actually a really awesome job. I didn't enjoy living in rural Delaware, so eventually we pulled out. I don't count Mammoth as – do I count them as one of my nine? I did 6 months at Mammoth on a contract gig.
Yeah.
That was fun. Then
were you at actually at Mammoth?
Yeah, we lived up there for 6 months.
Oh, that's nice. Awesome.
Yeah, we were like got the bottling program up and running and just kind of like helped them with some expansion stuff. And so then back to the Bay Area, and I landed at Trumer, which is exactly the same brewery that Golden Pacific was. Same building, same tank, same everything. So I was literally able to just walk in there and start brewing in a day.
Circle back around.
And then Speakeasy, and then which was a shit show, and I got fired for insubordination. I was proud of that because I didn't want to be there anymore. So owners don't like getting laughed at.
Speakeasy is the one who went under a while ago.
That's them.
Yeah. But then they get shut down because the bank realized we can run them until we sell them. Right? That was Speakeasy.
And then they got bought. Yeah. So they got, I mean, somebody came in and bought them. So they never. I don't think they ever come. They were like kind of closed for about a week. But they weren't really close. And like some of the brewers were still going in to like take care of the beer and the tanks and stuff like that. And then they got, basically reopened into like a receivership sort of thing. Then they got bought and, you know, they're going at it. They exist. They're making beer.
Yeah. I mean, the bank that on the loan was just like,
well, you're not going to get your money
back. Shut everybody out.
Right.
And lose all the money that's in these tanks.
Right.
Or we can keep these people on and. Just kind of do something and then try to sell this as an operating brewery a lot more than
because banks are it. Yeah, banks can't sell fermenters. They don't even know what the hell they are.
Yeah,
I think they've dialed back a little bit too. I mean, we're seeing a little less of them here, but when you get into the Bay Area, you'll see them a little bit more dominantly. But it's because it's their backyard, and I think a lot of the locals wanted to continue seeing that product there, and I'm sure other people came in and tried to help back that and try to keep it alive. So kind of a cool story there too when you think about the customer following for a brand that's been around for a while.
There was one,
and there were brewers that have been there for a long time, and you know they were suffering under. Bad ownership.
There was one beer they had was really good, and maybe it was yours, John. It was with the fireman on the bottle. Now I'm freaking blanking. You might even have
that IPA they came out with at the last minute.
Right, it was an IPA, and it had a fireman on the bottle, and I cannot. I'm blanking on the name, but it was
probably not
damn good beer.
Yeah, we were barely doing anything outside of core beers when I started there, and I kind of like got them to do a couple new beers.
But yeah, something like that.
That's something like it.
Yeah, the only beers I really remembered from them, because they were the ones that obviously popped up in our market quite a bit, was the Prohibition Lager.
Yep.
And then the Big Daddy IPA.
Yep.
Yeah, those
Big
are the
Daddy. Yeah, those are classics, man.
Yeah, yeah. And those were good beers. They were good beers, and they'd hit the market pretty consistently. And then after the whole ordeal, they just, like I said, everything just kind of scaled back with it. But I mean, got to work with what you got.
Well, they didn't call me until like 12, so
half hour. All right. Well, thanks to Roger Rink. Sure to go to Pine and Palm Brewing.
Pine and Palm. Buy beer.
Buy beer. Buy it. Because Roger likes you to buy beer.
This guy.
And
sometimes. That makes me money.
Watch out for those cornholes. They pull those cornholes out, so don't go there expecting cornholes.
Oh, the cornholes are still there. Roger's still there.
Ka-ching. You need a sound effect for that.
The cornhole sound effect.
It's just a splat.
I'm gonna make some cornhole recordings here this
just
week.
Just throw like a wet towel at the wall.
Like get those beanbags, really get the mic right up to that beanbag.
Yeah.
The one beer I just want to mention was that a Tioga beer that nobody's ever brought on this show, but I had to have it over at the Mad Duck. They finally some of those guest taps finally changed over.
Which Mad Duck were you at?
The light, expecting light, whatever it is, chasing
everything.
Light.
The light,
everything the light.
That is one that I've never
had. That is a good beer.
The beer you guys were talking about was Vendetta.
Vendetta. Oh, yeah. Vendetta.
Yes. We that all remember. Uh-huh. Yeah, we knew that.
That was that. I'm 99% sure that was aimed directly at McGill.
Ooh.
Because she tried to buy Speakeasy.
Wow.
And got.
They're like, this will get her.
Yeah, I don't know what they. Again, the old owner, Forrest Gray, was insane.
Like, yeah, that's, certifiably.
Yeah, just honestly certifiable. So.
There we go. That is some more good information.
Some good cheese.
Apparently, yeah. I'm here for it.
Yeah,
so.
That's right. More giants.
Who else shall I offend? This is why Zach's supposed to be taking the trank dart out right now.
Hey, man. Hey, you know, yeah.
Zach, I don't think I was supposed to get that Firestone by okay. now.
As soon as it happened, I was like, you know, hands off of this one. I'm gonna let him rock it.
John's a narcoleptic. He's asleep.
Pretty sure John's not going to be the one in trouble after this. It's going to be Zach's.
I don't know.
Zach's going to have to answer the
bad
answer.
Bad keeper.
He's like, dude, what the hell?
You know that guy just says stuff.
That's our number one guy. You let him say that.
I wasn't there.
Oh. Take a picture right now.
They had a sit-in.
Yeah.
They had a sit-in. Actually,
it was Louie.
Roger played like three people here today.
Nice.
It was all Roger.
He played Chill Roger, Crazy Roger, and Zach.
Yeah, perfect.
Oh, man. That's it, guys. We're winding it down.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's getting late in the Friday night now.
Yeah, Friday morning. Yeah, if we release this at 6, it's yeah, it's almost 9 a.m. We got some other stuff to do.
Pancakes are burning.
We have to get to Chili's right when it opens.
That's right.
Has anybody seen my shoes? My shoes. Let's leave my shoes.
Yeah, Louie took them to the pool.
Oh, man.
Don't give me crackers.
I'm going to wait till next week for... There are many... Apple Podcast reviews.
Oh, wow.
There's four right now that we haven't talked about.
Oh.
One of them, three are nice. One is not nice.
Perfect.
Can we just at least talk about the not nice one?
Yeah.
No, I'm interested.
Any mean tweets.
Well, we got to talk about the nice ones. I'm having to deal with it. I don't want to put it to you guys. I'm having to deal with it in myself.
Wow.
And I'm having to process it. I don't want to make you guys. I feel like the brewers that go on Untappd and somebody rates it 1 star and they're like, not impressed, blah, blah. And then they give no information of why. They're just like, this sucks. But why does it suck?
If people give us a bad review, I still cheers them on Untappd. I don't care. From the brewery, I'll be like, thank you for your feedback.
Wow.
Cheers.
As long as they're willing to write a couple words.
Yeah, that's like a sarcastic nod. You know,
it's like, it's like, we saw this.
Yeah, here. Aware.
Cheers to our golden gods of the Perfect Pour that donate money to us via Patreon, patreon.com/perfectpour. And $5 or more a month, man. These guys are super awesome. Guys and gals are super awesome to us. And we hella appreciate them and don't understand them, but we appreciate it. I don't know. I don't get these guys, but they're freaking cool. And they get to hear extra bonus stuff and all the things that we can figure out to do for them, we'll do. But thanks all the golden gods. And also cheers to Compassion Blanket, PDX Briggs, Javier Carrillo, Single Cam Slam, Stone Greg, again for, you know, replying on Instagram, Craft Beer Prospector, 12 Pearly, and Loyo and Danielle. I don't know if it's
no favorites.
Loyo or Danielle that hooked us up with all this, but thank you very much for bringing John and Zach to us.
Look, I went crazy.
She's like, why did I? I knew I shouldn't have done it. I did it. It's all me. It's all you're all to blame, Loyo. It's your fault. You cannot get mad at John or Zach.
It's very early Friday morning. We're having a really hard time. Barely awake.
Just barely.
Just saying stuff.
Give us a break here.
I think Roger's out there frying some breakfast burritos.
Can't we not wait.
Quite nice.
Is this like after a concert? What's going on?
I could honestly go for a breakfast burrito.
We used to have a taco assistant. We don't have that anymore.
Yeah. Where's our taco assistant? It's a good thing we got Roger. So.
Yeah. Matt, do you have some cheers you want to give him?
I hate everybody.
Woof, that is one hell of a cheers.
He had to let it off his chest. You know, it can only weigh on for so long.
If you would like to respond to Matt right now, go to Tioga Sequoia's beer garden. And he will be there.
Cheers to both Zach and Loyo, because they both have independently texted me about this show multiple times. And it's been fun to see how this show has changed. We were supposed to be all over town recording this show, and I was like, from my understanding, I was like, they were coming over here on a Tuesday to record. So it's just been it's been an interesting conversation this whole time. But
yeah, I'm glad we've been enjoying Central Valley Beer Week right here in the garage. Yeah.
But I'm glad we're able to nail it down, make it work, get everybody in studio, and just have a good time. So cheers to you guys. I appreciate you coming down here and having fun with us.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for having us.
Nick, indeed. Do you have any thoughts?
I did not do my homework.
Thoughts and prayers?
Oh, man.
Thoughts and prayers. Yeah, watch your Beer Week budgets, people.
Yeah, be careful. And guys, yeah.
Hey, Fresno! Fresno has a craft beer week, man.
Woo-hoo. You know?
Yeah, good stuff.
Well, it's Central Valley.
Not to mention, we're also only 2 weeks away from the Grand Get It in Long Beach.
That's only 2 weeks. Jeez, yep.
It's the 12th through the 14th
coming up.
Just got the confirmed email from my ticket.
Is that the Saturday that all the people's? The big festival part
14th,
of it?
14th, yeah.
Festivities. That's the big.
All right. That's good. It's projecting, right now, projecting to be the biggest Get It in history, but we'll see. See if it happens. Thanks, guys, for coming. Drinkdrakes.com.
Yes.
Drinkdrakes on the social media.
We love everyone.
We love them all. Mm-hmm. Any plans, any more expansion plans as far as towns distribution wise? Are you guys cool right now?
That's one thing that's in the work right now is figuring out distribution. There's a lot of changes going on right now, and we're currently lending an open ear and trying to figure out where our next steps are.
So are you guys outside of California at all?
Is it barely. Mm-hmm. Like since we're in Truckee, we go to Reno.
Okay.
We will occasionally drop. You know, we use like Tavor, which I guess, you know, that's multiple states. We do a couple of those little things. There's something called I want to say it's called the Brew Pipeline. Like they have distribution arrangements in multiple states. We sell to them and then they drop beer other places. And I've heard good things about the freshness and everything. I got a friend in Atlanta who bought some like 5 week old 1500, so that's not bad.
Yeah, that's not bad.
No.
1500, solid pale.
Listener to the show in Florida has gotten fresh Denogonizer through Tavor.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we do a lot of our barrel stuff through there, but yeah, sometimes it's Denog, but you know, particularly the barrel program stuff.
Yeah, I actually saw some pop up recently as well. I follow a bottle shop in Virginia, and they popped out with a picture. Hey, this guy just, you know, posted a picture saying, man, I've been dreaming of wanting to drink this beer, and we finally have it available. And it was kind of cool, you know, kind of cool to see that out there. So, nice. Yeah, making money. So
it's possible. You're out there. You can find some drinks if you really want it. legally and everything.
But for real, come to our tap rooms. That's where you really get a drink.
Come on. Sacramento, East Bay.
Don't be silly.
Just go.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Have a great week.
Beer week.
Check your dates. Boom, boom, be boom, safe. Boom. Have the fun. Whee!